Dafdalan Amid Base. Tani Rav Oshia. Okay, we went to Rav Oshia. We discussed Rav Oshia yesterday. We will come back to it. Tani Rav Chia. Asrim Va'arba Avos Nezikim. Tashlumi Kefel Vashlumi Arba V'chamisha V'ganef V'gazlan. Ganef, of course, means V'ganef who pays Keren. Although that's why it's not the same as Kefel and Arba V'chamisha. V'gazlan and Eidim Zomen and Onis and Mephatim Motzi Shemra. Mitame Midame Manasech, we'll come back to. These are three examples of what's called Hezek Sheinu Nikar, right? You damage someone's property without physically changing it, either by meaning Mitame something like Truma, which would lose its value, or mixing Truma into something, or Manasech, which we'll come back to in a moment. Bahani Placer, Ha Esrin, Ve Arba. Okay, plus the 13 of Rav Oshia makes 24. What is the case of Manasseh? There's a strange Rashi here. Rashi says, Manasseh yayin lavodazara. You take someone's wine and you pour it as a, I think it's called the libation, for avodazara, and you make it aser behana. Umusekhaz gittin mefarish amayel come to grabmine. Why? I mean, Umusekhaz gittin is actually machlokis. Why is it a come to grabmine? After all, you chayit misa for worshiping Avodah Zarah, so why do you have to pay? So they explain that for the moment you pick it up, you have to pay, but you're not chayit misa until you actually pour it. Metami de Menasa looks at the head, the filo hachi habi avos, shabbafal, nezekain, but nezek momen ksiv, but Torah makinish, shalmeri. Even though these are not written explicitly in the Torah, we'll see a few lines later in the Gemara whether they're raisik or abanan, but they're part of nezek, of nezek, we'll call adam dazek shor, and therefore they are part of the av nezekin of adam amazek. Okay, why are they listed separately for the chiddush of hezek chain reneker, as we'll explain. Says, but don't say menasek means you mix in treif wine with kosher wine. And then, of course, you'd avoid the whole problem of covering rabine. All you did was mix things. Because then he doesn't lose any money. And then it's not a nezek. You didn't lose any money. Why? Because if I mix, let's say you had 100 ounces of kosher wine, and I mix in 10 ounces of treif wine, of Yayin Nesach. So you actually haven't lost money. Even though, on the one hand, you might say, what do you mean? Now I have 110 ounces of wine that I can't drink. So I've lost my 100 ounces of wine, but it's not true, because theoretically, 10 of the ounces in here are usser, 100 of the ounces in here are mutter. We don't know which is which, so you can't drink any of it. I mean, we actually know that it's totally mixed, right? Every drop has, you know, has 9% treif and 91% kosher. But what you could do is you could say, I'm selling it to the guy, I'm selling the 100 ounces of kosher to a guy, and I'm not charging at all, I'm giving for free the 10 ounces. And, you know, whichever are the 100 kosher ounces, that's what he's paying for. Whichever are the 10 treif ounces, he's not paying for. And therefore, I'm not getting enough from the treif ounces, so I could still sell it for the price of 100 ounces of wine. So it's no problem, I haven't lost any money. Since you haven't lost any money, it's obviously not shy to talk about mazik. Okay, the Rishonim raised two questions on this Rashi. Tosos implicitly raises one question. Right, he doesn't actually say, I am hereby declaring an attack on Rashi, but he's arguing with Rashi. Right, Rashi says only one of those is a possibility, and Tosos says both those are possibilities, and Tosos says it's not his own idea. It's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel Masechus Gittin, and Daf Nun Beis on the Beis, right? That's what we said. Itmar Menasech Rav or Menasech Mamish Shmuel or Ma'arif. So if it's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and Shmuel says it means mixing in, then how can Rashi say it's impossible to say mixing in because it's not a damage at all? Shmuel thought it was possible. If Shmuel thought it was possible, then how can Rashi say it's not possible? Right? And the Gemara is no pirchas, right? Shmuel's, they go through. Why does Shmuel say what he says? Why does Rav say what he says? And no one says, because you haven't really lost any money because you'll just sell it to a guy. Right? That's not any opinion in Maseches Gittin. So we see that there are two possibilities. So how can Rashi say there's only one possibility and go against a Gemara? That's the first kasha to ask on Rashi. The Tosos Rid asks the second kasha on Rashi. The second kasha on Rashi is if I find the Rid, I'll read it inside. If not, yeah. Tosfot is in here. He has a Pashakash and Rashi. Go to the supermarket in America. What costs more, kosher wine or treif wine? Kosher wine. So what do you mean he hasn't lost money? He had 100 ounces of kosher wine that he could sell to the Jews, you know, for the price of kosher wine. Now, you're right, he could still sell that same 100 ounces to a guy that he's selling it for the price of treif wine. And treif wine is not worth as much as kosher wine, so he still lost money. And that's what he says right here. Ve'eino nirali d'vendameh namim zam l'kohanim el p'seidehu. After all, when you mix truma into my chulin, I can still sell my chulin to the kohanim, but I have to sell it cheaper, because the kohanim pay cheaper price than regular kosher produce. Okay, and then he points out also in Hanizakim, it's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, so we have two kashas on Rashi. Rashi says, Nisoch Mamish, that's not such a chiddush. Okay, that's Rav. The chiddush of Rav. If he had said, I like Rav, I'll pick Rav. Seder, he's allowed to pick Rav, he's allowed to pick Shmuel, he's allowed to pick whoever he wants. And yes, why did he pick one? Okay, there's always... It's not a kasha. Why'd you pick who to paskalai? But he says, right, you can't say ma'ariv because there is no hefsid. So kasha one is getting Shmuel says ma'ariv, right? So obviously you can't say it. And question two is, there is hefsid, because you have to sell it cheaper to goyim. And just like midameya, I mix chulin with my truma, I can still sell it. It's not also bana. I have to sell it to a kohen because it's mixed with truma, and it'll cost less because now it's not regular kosher produce. Okay, so how do you answer these two kashas? So as you can imagine, if you look at all the achronim here, there's all kinds of fancy cheshbonos. That you can say. The Maharshad gives a very popular pshat. A lot of people like to pick up the Maharshad. The Maharshad admits it's super duper dumb. He says that you have to take Rashi lav davka. Rashi didn't mean there's no hefsid. What did Rashi mean? Rashi meant there's only a small hefsid. Because you poured your 10 ounces of treif. You poured 10 ounces of treif into my 100 ounces of kosher wine. I didn't lose all the wine. I can still sell the 100 ounces to a guy. I can just sell it cheaper. So I still have the same amount that I can still sell it, I just have to lower the price a little. That is a small hefsid. And, so if there's a small hefsid, right, Rashi didn't. It's a little dachy, he says, the lo kamachasre, the lo mide. What he means is, it's very dachy. You know, he didn't make him lose anything legamre, he just made him have to sell it cheaper. So what if he has to make him sell it cheaper? It's still a hezek. What Rashi really meant to object is, since you still have your wine, you just have to sell it cheaper, that's the same as midameah. You mix truma into my chulin, I still have my chulin, I can still sell it, I just have to sell it cheaper, because only kohanim will buy it. And then Rashi was just saying, Rav's objection to Shmuel, what was Rav's objection to Shmuel? His objection to Shmuel was, ma'arav hainu midameah, that if you mix treif wine in with kosher wine, that's the same as midameah, so why should it be listed twice? Okay, so the Dochet says the Maharsha, he answers both questions. Says the Maharsha, the answer to question two is Rashi meant a hefsid muat. Rashi meant hefsid muat. He didn't mean no hefsid. And then the answer to one is Rashi meant that ma'ariv hainu midameya. He didn't mean you can't call it a hezek. He just meant it's the same hezek as midameya because you mix something in and then it goes down a little in value, which is Rav's kusha on Shmuel and Gittin. So he's not against the Gemara and Gittin. He's just possibly like Rav, that Rav's against Shmuel because Ma'arev is not really a big hefsid, it's a small hefsid. And once it's a small hefsid, you mix things in and make a small hefsid, it's the same as Midameah. Okay, but that's very dochuk, the Maharsha, because Rashi doesn't say the objection is that it's the same as Midameah. Rashi said the objection is no hefsid, even the Maharsha admits. So what do you have to say? Again, you can make a million very fanciful pshatim. But I think the Rav says Pashim Shat, says the Rav. Says the Rav, look at Rashi and Gittin. What does Rashi and Gittin say? Yer ma'arev, yayin nesek, yayin kosher, shal chavera v'asra v'hanah. Right? When you mix in the yayin, the treif wine and the kosher wine, you make it asra v'hanah. What does Rashi say here? When you mix in the treif wine and the kosher wine, it's not asra v'hanah. You can still sell it to a guy. So, why would Rashi and Gittin say a different psak than Rashi here? So I think the Rav says very pashat that it's a machlokas tanoim in Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah dafayin dalet. It's taka machlokas tanoim. What happens when you mix yayin nesef with kosher wine? Does it all become asur? Or no? You can't drink any of it because it's all mixed together, but you can still sell the kosher part to a guy. Just don't charge him for the isur hana part. So that's a machlokas din chachamim, or tanakama, let's call it chachamim, and Rishim Gamliel. The Chacham says, kulo asur hana. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Yimachar kulo asur chutzbevei avodah zarah shvo. I mean, the very question, how does he answer question one? Question one is that the Gemara in Gittin is aliba de chachamim, yisavri kulo asur b'hana, and therefore ma'ariv really is a hezek. But the Gemara in Bava Kama is Aliba De Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Savar Yimacher Legoy Chutz Midmei Yayin Nesach Shavo. Okay, so it's no problem. Rashi meant that Gemara was like the Chachamim who held Taket all becomes intrinsically Asur Hana, and therefore it's a real Hezek. But our Gemara is according to Shimon Gamliel, who holds that it doesn't become asur b'hanah. You can't drink it because it's all mixed together. You can still sell the mutter parts to a guy, and therefore you won't lose money. Give me a second. Now, just but mehechi tesi to Rashi, that was according to the Chacham, and this is according to Shimon Gamliel. Like, it's very nice if you want to say it. But Rashi obviously must have had a reason for saying it, right? Why? How did Rashi know that these two sugyas were according to two different people? So I think you have to say like this, that Shmuel's the mandamer ma'ariv, let's say. Shmuel's the man da'amar ma'ariv. So Rashi is going to leave it to Shmuel. So it's very posh. Why? Because we're talking I'll leave it to Shmuel. Shmuel paskins like Shmuel paskins chenam Rav Shmuel afil yayin b'yayin that we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Shmuel paskins like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Rashi wanted to go with Rav Shimon Gamliel and our sugya. So here it's because Shmuel Pasak Kirashbag. So Rashi was going toward the Pasak. So why didn't Shmuel pass like Rashbag? So why didn't he pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel over there in Gittin also? So it's very posh. Because what did Shmuel hold in Gittin? Shmuel held why didn't Shmuel agree that it could be Manasseh? Amarlach, Manasseh, come later to Rav Mineh. Shmuel held that Manasseh Mamish was Potter, so come later to Rav Mineh. Shmuel held it's come later to Rav Mineh in Manasseh Mamish. So, I hope this is going to work. One second. Okay. Shmuel held it couldn't be Manasseh, because that was come later to Rav Mineh. We hold it's not come later to Rav Mineh, because you pick it up first and you pour it second. But since Shmuel held the can't be Manasseh Mamish, so all you have to say, Shmuel Savar, De'efshar Lomar, Manasseh Mamish, De'kimleib Ravineh. Right? I'm adding a little to what the Rav says. The Rav just says, Sudan Tanam, I'll tell you why. Because Shmuel there, he held very much. Shmuel held it couldn't be Manasseh, because he held Manasseh as Kimleib Ravineh, which we don't follow. We say Manasseh is not Kimleib Ravineh, because first you pick it up in Archayiv Mamon, and then you pour it in Archayiv Misa. But since Shmuel held Manasseh Kimli Rabbinay, because he viewed it as one process. You pick it up and pour it as all one process. Like the Gemara says later on some other things. And therefore he says Kimli Rabbinay, he had no choice but to say Ma'arif. So, let's just... As Sarich Lomar the Mishnah Ma'iri B'Ma'arif. So Shmuel had no choice. He had to say the Mishnah was Ma'ariv, because it couldn't be Manasseh. And if he had to say the Mishnah was Ma'ariv, Oh, but Maariv's not really hezek because you can sell it to a guy, so we had to say the Mishnah Chachamim. Vitzorich lomar the Mishnah that the Mishnah in Gittin Azel kechachamim. I think that's what the Rav meant. He had no choice, Shmuel. Why did Shmuel say Maariv there? He had no choice. It couldn't be Manasseh because he had Manasseh from the Rabbi Nate. So the only choice that it means Maariv. If it means Maariv, oh, there's no damage because you could still sell it. So his only option is to say it must be Ma'ariv, it must be Chachamim. Even though I don't hold like Chachamim, it must be Chachamim, because that's the only way to explain the Mishnah. There has to be some case of paying for Manasseh. It can't be Manasseh, Mamish, Kim, Ramani. It must be Ma'ariv. But you have to pay for it, so it must be damaged. So it must be the Chachamim. While over here, there it had to be. You had no choice but the Chachamim. And here, Kaimalon, the Menaseh ain't lo come the Rabine, the Kaimalon, Kirashbag, the Imkain, Chayav, Al Menaseh, and not Me'ariv. Right, so there was Shmuel, all based on the assumption that Menaseh was killed with Rabine, so he had no choice but to make the Chacham and make Me'ariv and Ezek. Over here, no, we're confident, as Rashi says there, that we paskin, like Maskan and the Sugya there, that's not going to be Rabbani if you're Manasseh. And once you're able to say Manasseh, you don't have to stick it into the Chachamim and say Ma'arif, and we could say that it is Ma'arif. Okay, maybe that's also Cheshvan, maybe you have no choice to make a Cheshvan, but that's what the Rav clearly says, that Chachamim versus Rashbag. I just want to say, why Chachamim versus Rashbag? Because Shmuel had no choice but to say, we prefer Rashbag. But Shmuel had no choice but to say Chacham there, because he had no option, because he couldn't say Menaseh. We have a choice to say Menaseh. Then we're not going to go with Chacham, we're going to go with Rashbag, we're going to say it's Ma'arif. Okay, that's what I think is behind the Rav. The bigger question is, what about question two? What about question two? What about the fact that, the Rid's question, that even if you're allowed to sell it to Goyim Chutz Min Yayin Nesebo, you're still going to sell it cheaper. So here, there are two answers. A fancy one and a practical one. The practical answer here is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and the Rav. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, maybe Rabbi Akiva Eiger's right. The Rav's nicer, but maybe Rabbi Akiva Eiger's right. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he just disagrees with he argues with the Rid in economics and Metzias. The Rid thinks trait wine is cheaper, and the Rid thinks if you go to the supermarket, trait wine will be cheaper than kosher wine. Akiva Eiger says trait wine's not cheaper than kosher wine. I have no idea, meaning it wouldn't help to go to the supermarket now. You'd have to go to the supermarket 2,000 years ago, right? Was trait wine cheaper than kosher wine? I'm not sure. It was certainly annoying for someone's wine to be trait instead of kosher, but I don't know. Did Goyim like, was the price of wine for Goyim cheaper than the price of wine for Jews?
It's practically also. Remember, you're selling him, like you gave the example, you're selling him for the price of 90 liters of wine, but you're giving him 100 liters. So for him, it's a bargain.
No, but the post can say, you can't tell him you're going to give him 100 liters, because then
no,
he'll really...
No, you're selling the price, at the end of the price. He looks at the price.
No. Yeah, no, but the post can say, you have to tell him it's 90 and charge him for 90 and agree on a price, and then throw in the 10. Because otherwise he's really going to pay for the 10 indirectly. So he's still going to pay the regular price, but that's... Let me just give you a second. He says he argues on the Rid in Metzius. He says, no. Goyim pay the same price for Yayin as Jews. And therefore, you mamish haven't lost any money. The Rid of the Kasha, the Rid misunderstood the way the market works. The Rid thought that treif wine was cheaper than kosher wine. And it's not true. Treif wine is not cheaper than kosher wine, or at least treif wine wasn't cheaper than kosher wine in the days of Chazal. Meaning, maybe in the days of the Rid it was, but that's not relevant.
I thought he had to sell it cheaper because the fact that he couldn't sell it to Jews already limited his market.
So okay, hold that thought. Now, simple question. Simple question is, Midameya is clearly mixing, right? You mix chulin and truma, and you're clearly still allowed to sell it, right? Right. Let's say I have 90 ounces of chulin. You mix in 10 ounces of truma. I can still sell the 90 ounces of chulin. I just have to sell it to a kohen, because it's mixed with truma. Only a kohen can eat it. So, simple question is,
asked for Rabbi Akiva Eger on himself. So why is Meduma cheaper than kosher produce, but treif wine not cheaper, right? Meaning Rashi's whole point is, don't interpret Menaseh like Medamea. Don't say it's mixing like Medamea. Because Medamea, how you tackle lose money. Because now you have to sell it cheap. But Menaseh wine, you don't have to sell cheap. Hold on a second. If you have to sell the Medamea cheap, because now you can only sell it to Kohanim, so you have to, so why don't you have to sell the wine cheap because you don't want to sell it to Goyim?
Because the Kohanim are a big minority and Goyim are not.
Right, or it would be clear if we said small minority, perhaps. yes, and that's exactly what Rabbi Eger says. He says very pashut. There are not so many Kohanim. Right, think about it. Let's say you have 1,000 Jews in your town. So there are 50 Kohanim. If you have to sell something and you can only sell it to 50 people, you have to make it cheap. Let's say you have 1,000 Jews in your town. Then you have 10,000 goyim, right? There's more goyim than Jews in the world, right? So you can, now you can, if you can only sell something to 50 people instead of 1,000, you have to make it cheap. If you can only sell something to 10,000 people instead of 11,000 people, there's so many goyim out there, you don't have to sell it cheap in order to sell it to goyim. There's enough goyim out there that you don't have to lower the price. Meaning, when you can only sell it to goyim, it doesn't restrict your market so much. Because most people are goyim. When you can only sell it to kohanim, it does restrict your market. Because there aren't so many Kohanim.
Depends where you are.
Okay, he's assuming that you were you? You were in the time of the Tanaim. In the time of Tanaim, he assumes that's how it works. There were a lot of Goyim in the time of Tanaim.
Didn't you just say because you have to tell the Kohen that there's Truma next to the time? I mean, they have to make it known to the buyer, as opposed to the Goyim.
That's interesting. When you sell the Meduma to Kohen, you have to tell him it's Truma, because otherwise he might eat it, Bitoma, etc. So therefore, he knows he can bargain you down. When you sell this to a guy, you don't have to tell him it's treif. You can just tell him I'm selling wine, right? You can just tell him I'm selling wine, and therefore he's not going to bargain you down. That's not what Rabbi Eger says, but it's a good vart.
And you don't have to depend on any mitzvahs to know that you're a round guy or not a round guy.
Right? Okay. And now again, all of this, I'm sure some economists could make this more complicated, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a good enough answer that some economists say only in this circumstance, not this circumstance, but say this circumstance, you'll say it's this circumstance. Anyway, so that's very easy. Rabbi Akiva Eger has one answer, and Kresge has one answer, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, because Kohanim are a small market. Now, again, it's tricky. Sometimes for a small market, but I think something like this, if you have a product that's widely produced for a small market, it's cheaper. You're not producing it special for the small market. That's different. If you produce something special for the small market, that's different. Meaning in the time of the Rishonim, where they produced wine special for the small market of Jews, that's different. The smaller market gets a bigger price. But in the days of Chazal, it doesn't seem like, maybe they didn't produce special for a small market. Okay, Kohanim is a small market, but Goyim are a big market. And therefore, you don't have to lower the price. And Hanami,
you can only have 10,000 potential customers instead of 11,000. You don't lower the price for that.
And says Chesky, how do you spell Chesky? How in English? What's in English at the end? Y or I-E?
I-E, with the Z.
Chesky. Chesky says, because that's a good word. You have to tell the Kohanim, meaning you can't just happen to sell it to Kohanim.
You have to tell him it's truma, so he'll know if it gets tummy, he can't eat it, right? But you don't have to tell the guy that there's yai nesef mixed in here. You just tell the guy, you want to buy 90 liters? Buy 90 liters. He'll come home, he'll save 100 liters, he'll say, oh good, I ripped off the Jew. You know, he won't necessarily know why, and he doesn't have to know whether it's kosher or treif. Once he takes it home, it's treif anyway, right? So it makes no nafkamina.
You have to tell Kohanim, but you don't have to tell the goyim. Since you don't have to tell the goyim that you're in some special circumstance, they're going to pay you the regular price. Since you have to tell the Kohanim that it's a special circumstance, they're going to only pay you a cheap price because they know they have you over a barrel.
Also, the wine back then, remember, we're talking now kosher wine with hashkafas, with all this and that. Back then, none of that existed.
Right, that's what you have to
assume. The wine was being made by this guy or that guy.
Right, now, it's not so partial. There is an idea of metahir yayin of akum, even in the Gemara, not just in the Rishonim, but we have to assume more or less that to get the economics to work. Okay, that's Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger gives an economic psychology answer. He says, no, Taka, Rashi means pshuto kamashmo, that you don't lose any money at all because treif wine sells for the same price as kosher wine, and
you can still sell the same amount that you used to have for the same amount of money that you used to be able to sell it for. You'll just only sell it to goyim. But that doesn't make you lose money. Is it a little annoying? It's a little annoying, but it doesn't make you lose any money. The Rav says a lumdish answer. Right? Okay. Kedar Kav HaKodesh. The Rav says a lumdish answer. Says the Rav, because... says the Rav, because you do lose money, unlike Rabbi Akiva Eger. But the loss of money is only grumma, or maybe, not grumma, grumma, maybe it's even less than grumma. But even though you lose money, not every time you lose money, right? Am I chayev as a mazik? Let me give you a classic example, right? If you have 1,000 shares of General Electric, and I flood the market with General Electric, you have 1,000 shares of General Electric worth $60 a share. I flood the market, sell a lot of GE stock. Now it's only worth $40 a share. So now what you have, you can only sell for less than you used to because it's my fault, and therefore I made you lose money because you can sell it for less. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows I'm not chayev for that. I don't even know if that's grumma. That's not grumma. That's life. Just because I do something that makes you have to sell your property for less money doesn't make it a hezek. What makes it a hezek? What makes it a hezek is if I change your property, I damage your property so that it's different now, and now you have to sell it for less money. So hezek nicker means your property is now physically different than it used to be. And that's the Rav says in the Masorah from Rav Chaim, that nezek doesn't mean I cause you to have less money available than you used to. Nezek means that I damaged the chetz of your property. So hezek nicker means your property is physically damaged. Hezek she'eno nicker means your property is physically the same, but its halachic status is different. Says the Rav, very poshut, because you do lose money, but there's no change to the chetza. Why? The kosher wine is still a chalos of Yayin Heter. The reason you have to sell it cheap is because there's treif wine next to it. Right? Next to every 10 molecules of kosher wine is a molecule of treif wine. But the chefta hasn't changed. You've just put another chefta next to it, which indirectly makes you sell it for less. That's not called mazik. The kosher wine is still a chalos Yayin Heter. Right? That's what he's saying. The status of the kosher wine hasn't changed. It's just, like, here's a great example, right? Here's a great example. Hezek Nicker is, you have a house, and you know what I do? I run a truck into your house, and now your house is collapsing, it's worth less money, obviously I have to pay. Hezek She'eno Nicker, you know, would mean you have a house, and now I somehow make your house usher b'handah. Now it's worth less money, right? What if, have to be careful what I say. I won't be so careful what I say. All right, I'm not approving of anything. Just discussing how the world used to work when I was a kid. What if you have a house that's worth $1 million? If I crash a truck into it, and now it's worth $800,000 as Hezek Nicker. If I make your house usher b'handah, and now it's worth, you know, $0, that's Hezek She'eno Nicker. But I change the house. What if, the old days, the world once worked this way, maybe it still does in some places, I'm a black guy and I buy the house next door. Now your house is not worth $1 million anymore, it's only worth $600,000 because no one wants to buy it anymore because the neighborhood's going down. Okay, this is the way the world worked when I was a kid. I'm not saying I approve, but that's the way it worked. So, what happens?
That's what goyim say in America, or even here, with Haredi Jews move in.
No, then the house doesn't go down in value. They don't like living there anymore. The houses, their value is fine. The houses go up in value. They just don't like the fact that they have to move. But they don't lose any money. Okay, now your house went down in value. So that's not a hezek at all. Your house is the same house. It hasn't physically changed. Halachic status hasn't changed. Just the neighbors make it less desirable. So therefore, you have to sell it cheap. Okay, that's not a hezek. That's life. So likewise here, I haven't physically changed your kosher wine. I haven't halachically changed your kosher wine because I haven't made it into treif wine. I've just given it a bad neighbor.
Now, your kosher wine, every molecule of kosher wine has a bad neighbor that's treif wine, but it hasn't changed the chefza. Okay, that's a chiddush of the rough. When you mix two things together, that's not called not changing the chefza. It hasn't changed the chefza, it's just giving it a bad neighbor. When you have a bad neighbor, you have to sell cheaper. Okay, but that's not a chalos hezek, because there's no change to the chefza of the kosher wine. That's the basic point, right? The kosher wine is still a chalos yayin heter. There's no change to the chefza. And therefore, I've given it a bad neighbor, but that's not a change to the chefza. Therefore, it's not a hezek. You can still sell the kosher wine to a guy. I haven't made it any less. I haven't made it physically less. I haven't made it halachically less. You're telling me because it has a bad neighbor, you're going to sell it for less money? Okay, that's life. That's not within the realm of mazik. That's the chiddush of the rav. Okay, what's the interesting chiddush of the rav? The interesting thing comes out of this rav. First of all, this is a big chiddush. What's the chiddush? He makes two chiddushim. Notice, his first chiddush is that nezik doesn't mean I make you lose money. Nezik means I change your chefza and make it worse. It's not such a crazy chiddush, because you have to have some way of being magder what's nezik. And then, his second chiddush, which you know, could have had a judgment call either way, is that if I just mix two things together, that's not called changing the chefza. Just putting one thing next to another one. Right? Okay. Now, of course, the Rav has a problem. What's the Rav's problem now? So, why is midameya a hezek if ma'ariv isn't? The same problem as Rabbi Kiva Eger, right? But it's not an economic shayla, it's now a lumda shayla. Why, if ma'ariv doesn't change the chefza of the heter, just gives it a bad neighbor, midameya also doesn't change the chefza of the heter. The chulin still chulin, just has a bad neighbor of truma, so you have to sell it cheap. So why is midameya chayev? And here's where the Rav says the famous chiddush, and let's say you love to quote this chiddush to the Rav. He didn't usually quote it in the Baba Kama context. You know, he quoted it all over. The Rav has a big chiddush. This is the Rav's famous chiddush about midameya. Says the Rav's chiddush. He says something very interesting. He says, is there a halachic word for a mixture of yayin nesech? Is there a specific halachic word for a mixture of yayin nesech and kosher wine? Or for mixing yayin nesech and kosher wine? No, it's ma'ariv, tarovis. The same as mixing anything and anything. Right? There's no special word in halacha for mixing yayin nesech with kosher wine. There's no special word in halacha for mixing chazer with kosher meat. There's no special word in halacha for mixing the vela with shtuta. Or for mixing, etc. At least most things, right? However, there's a special word for mixing truma with chulin, midameya. And there's a special word for the mixture of chulin and truma. It's meduma. Okay, why is there a special word in halacha for this? So the answer might be, okay, you can't bring a riot from vocabulary to anything. I don't know, why do Eskimos have more words for snow than we do? Because, I don't know, maybe it just happened once in a while, so people made a word for it. Says the Rav, you know why? Because when you mix kosher with treif, there's no special chalos going on here. It's just a mixture. You haven't changed any chefza. Yeah, now the kosher is in a treif, okay, it has to do with lumdus of tam ke'ikar, but the Rav assumes when you mix kosher with treif, you haven't changed any chefza. The treif is still treif, the kosher is still kosher, just they're mixed. When you mix chulin with truma, you have changed the chefza. You've created a chalos meduma. There's a special chalos called meduma. It's not just that the truma is truma. Now the chulin is some new chalos called meduma. That's the tremendous chiddush of the Rav. What's the Rav's chiddush? Is that when, if you are midameya, the chefza does change. That's the big chiddush of the Rav. The chulin becomes a chalos called meduma. What's his raya? That meduma is a chalos and not just that it happens to have a bad neighbor. I mean, it does change. There are some things where you put in the right neighbor and actually could change the house. Okay, I can't think of something like that about the housing market. But it actually does change the house. It makes it into chalos meduma. What's the Rav's raya? The Rav's raya that he liked to bring was from the Machlokas Rishonim in Chala. Meduma is potter than from Chala. The Gemara says, because tarbim with truma velo shekvar truma. Right? Truma is pater from chala, and meduma is also pater from chala. So why is meduma pater from chala? After all, meduma is mostly chulin. So that's the machlokas Rishonim, and the Rashi Mishan says,
No. What it means is the truma part of meduma is potter, and only the chulin part is chayiv. So it's not a chiddush. The Rambam is understood by all the Akronim to say that no, the whole meduma is potter from chala. Why is the whole meduma potter from chala? Because the whole meduma has a chalos truma on it. Not just the truma part, the whole meduma has a chalos truma on it. Therefore, the whole meduma is potter from chala. Right? That's the raya the Rav brought. Right? What's the raya the Rav brought? He first brought raya from Shitas HaRambam Ve'od. Ve'od Meduma Potter Ligamre. Mechala. Meaning it's not just that the truma inside is potter from challah, so therefore you subtract the truma and see if it has a shear left. It's all potter from challah. Even if you have a full shear, right? What's the shear? It is 53.2 kebetzim. 53.2 kebetzim of chulin. And a kebetzim of truma drops in, makes it meduma. Now it's all meduma, but there's still enough shear of chulin, it's still potter from challah, because the whole meduma got chalos, not just the truma shabot. I want to bring another raya from the Rav, from the sheet of Rashi and Tamura. Okay. It's Rashi seems to have changed his mind between Chumash and Tamura. The Gemara calls the Leas Chava Dimacha Lo Sachir. The Gemara calls Truma Dimacha. Dema. Why is the Gemara called Truma Dema? So, Rashi and Chumash says he doesn't know. Rashi and Tamura says, because of Meduma. It's called Truma, it's called Dema, because if it mixes in with Chulin, it makes it Aser. So, that's a very radical idea. Because if it mixes it in with chulin, makes it usher. I mean, the name in the Torah, knows what he's saying. He's not saying the name in Chazal. If you say Chazal nicknamed it something, okay. Chazal knew all the halacha, and they made nicknames. He's saying in the Torah, truma is called dimacha, that which makes its mixture usher. Why isn't Chazar called that which makes its mixture usher? Why isn't Avela called that which makes its mixture usher? The answer is because they don't make the mixture usher. Just... What? Why didn't Yainessa call that? The answer is because they're in Mahus is not that they make their mixture usher. They're just usher, and if you mix them, then the usher part is usher and the mutter part is mutter. But Truma is different. In Truma, it's Mahus is that it makes it has the power to usher its tarovis. It has the power to usher the whole thing. Not just because there's Truma in there. Because it gives a chalos to the whole tarovis. And I thought that's an even better raya for the Rav. Rashi and Tmura. Right? Daf. Where is it? Dafdalid Amud Aleph. Rashi and Tamura Dafdalid Amud Aleph says that the Lashon Dema Betorah, or that it Truma is Nikres Dema in the Lashon Torah. And the Lashon Torah is not going to be just Stam a nickname that someone picked for no reason. This Lashon Torah is called Dema in Lashon Torah. Everyone else says the opposite. It's called Dema in Lashon Torah for some reason. And then Chazal invented the word Mizuma based on Dema in the Torah. Okay, he says, no. It's called Dema in the Torah because Dema means mixture. Mipnei she'oser taruvto. Okay, this doesn't just aser tarovus because it happens to be there. This is a chalos in the Torah that aser tarovus, meaning it's a new chalos on the whole tarovus called Meduma. Tosas asks Akasha and Rashi, and if you'll ask, someone then asks me, says, sounds good. You want to say, I don't want to say anything. The Rav wants to say this, big chidush. That Meduma is not just a regular Tarovis. Meduma and regular Tarovis are two separate ball games. Regular Tarovis is not a chalos. Just they're mixed. Since they're mixed together, so you get stuck a little practically. But it's just a bad neighbor who brings the real estate prices down. Meduma is a chalos. Once you mix one chulin with 99, one truma with 99 chulin, it becomes 100 of a chalos Meduma. And there's a new chalos, there is a change to the whole chefza. How do we know? Number one, because all 100 pots are from chala, according to the Rambam and many others. Number two, because Rashi says that the Torah calls Truma that which asers the Tarovis, showing there's a Chalosa in the Tarovis. But why would Truma be different? So I think the answer is very Pashut. Also, this might be able to help answer Tosas Kasha and Rashi and Tmura. Tosas asked the Rashi and Tmura, how can you say an asers the Tarovis? Actually, Midaraisa, there's Bethel Barov. It's only Midrabanan that Truma asers the Tarovis. So how would you answer that? So you could answer that by saying, no, he means if it's 50-50 and there's no rove, then Midoraisa makes a chalos in the Tarovis. And the Rabban extended it up to 1 in 100. Or you could say, no. What Rashi really means is, why is Truma different than everything else? Because Yayin Nesach, where does the whole idea of Yayin Nesach come from? There's something wrong with the Yayin Nesach in and of itself, that it's Tekrovis of Odazara. Where did the idea of Nevela being treif come from? There's something where the Nevela in and of itself, because it wasn't shechted. Where does Chazar being treif come from? There's something where the Chazar in and of itself, because it's a Chazar. Where did the idea of Truma come from? you can't actually have truma starting out. You can't grow truma in nature, right? Truma is only truma because you had something called tevel. How do you look at tevel, sir? Yosef Engel, the Asman Derayta, says a chakira. Is tevel just some third type of matter? The three phases, not solid, liquid, and gas, chulin, truma, and tevel? Or no, tevel just means the chulin is mixed with the truma. Then you unmix it through hafrasha. And if you remix it again, then you're midrabanan back where you started. Maybe the whole point of truma is that truma is the only issur in the Torah where the Torah said, this isn't born as an issur. It's born as a tarovas issur, and there's chalos on the tarovas called tevel. After all, if I eat a kazayis of tevel, I'm chayiv malchus, and I can't say, well, only part of it was truma and part of it was chulin. Chita ach v'teres kol kri. No, there's a chalos tevel. So just like there's a chalos tevel midoraisa when there's a tarovas chulin and truma, and that's why it's called demax. It mixes up and makes an isser tevel. Likewise, if you're mafrish and it falls back in, midoraisa or midrabanan, there's a chalos dimua. Dimua is not the same as truma, I understand. It's only midrabanan. But maybe there's a common sense reason. Why would meduma be a chalos when every other tarovas is not a chalos? Because truma is different. The whole point of truma is it's something that the definition of truma is when you have a mixture with truma inside, there's a chalos isser, you're not allowed to eat it. Likewise, here, when you have a mixture with truma inside, there's a chalos isser, you're not allowed to eat it. So I'd say that this is just an extension of the idea of tevel, which nothing else has tevel, right? Chazer and nevela and yainesech are not usser because you have to separate a mixture. They're usser because they're usser. Truma is the only thing that's usher because you have a mixture with chalos that needs to be separated. So too, any tarovs of truma is a chalos.
Wouldn't this be dependent on the machlokas rishonim if tevel of maaser ani has everything else taken off? Is it misa bishmaim or just whatever? There's a Rambam and
I'm not sure why that should be totally on that.
If it's a
tarovas,
then you're only
chayav
misa
b'deshamayim
when there's truma inside.
And if it's a chalos, maybe the chalos from Meduma Maaser Ani is different.
You could also be chalos. But if you assume that you're chayav misa b'deshamayim no matter what with tevel, then it wouldn't be
a... No, I meant tevel of truma. Okay. Anyway, you could say maybe the yesod is that kol inyan truma hu chalos iser Bitaroves Tal Truma Vechulin, which is called Tevel. Truma doesn't start as Truma, it starts as a Chalos Isser when it's mixed in with the Chulin, you have to unmix it. If you remix it, you go back to Chalos Isser, and it's not a crazy idea.
Don't you need Kriyas Shem to make something Truma?
Yes.
How can it already be inside the Tevel without
okay.
a Shem?
So that is, I didn't bring the Asvin Daraisa here, so obviously it's not a regular Taroves before Kriyas Shem. Okay, the Rav saying neither is Meduma regular Tarovas. That's fine. But it is different from a regular Tarovas because a regular Tarovas, you can't just be Kore Shame and separate it. You know, this is more of a theoretical Tarovas. But what is Tevel? I don't mean Tevel is like X ounces of Chulin mixed with X ounces of Truma. What I mean is Tevel is the idea of Chulin mixed with the idea of Truma. And by Kriya Shame, we separate those ideas because ideas can be separated without actual chemical analysis, just by declaring. And then, when you remix the physical pieces, that's a little different, because it's not just a mixture of the ideas, it's a mixture of the physical pieces, but it's still similar to that, and at least Ke'im Doraisa Tikkun would have a chalos, and maybe even Midoraisa would have a chalos, if it is a tarovis chad bechad, a 50-50 tarovis. Okay, that's what I wanted to say to add to what the Rav says in the Rishimas here, that maybe... Do you have to come on to the Rav? You don't have to come on to the Rav. You could say like a Marshal, though it's very dachuk. You could say like a million other pshatim, if you want to look at all the achronim. Or you could say like Rav Yekiv Eger answer the Tosfos Ritz Kasha. Remember, the Tosfos Ritz Kasha, you could say the Marshal. The answer is, in achronim, you lose money. He just meant, if you're just losing a little money, then it's like in Damei and should have been counted separately. Not so much, Mimra. The Rav Yekiv Eger says, maybe that's the most straightforward, you're talking about losing money. You got the Metzias wrong economically. You live in a society where you don't know how the stores worked in the days of Chazal. Or you could say like the Rav, no, this all lundish, a taroz of Yainesek is not a chalos, so it's not within the realm of Zikin, but a taroz of Truma is a chalos. That's a big chiddush about taroz of Truma, but it's not such a crazy chiddush, because after all, why is there a special word for it? And why, according to many Mishonim, is all Meduma Pater, even the Chulin part, Pater from Chala, and Rashi and Tumur, I think, is the best for I, even though the Rav didn't bring it. why would the Torah name Truma that which forbids its Tarovis? Unless it was because of the special halos of Truma forbidding its Tarovis and not just a Spam mixture.
Isn't this very limiting, though? Because then we're not talking about
Meiser,
we're not talking about...
So Yesh Lodun Harbe, about would you extend this idea to Meiser or would you not extend this idea to Meiser? Maybe yes, maybe no. But I'm going to leave that as an open question for you. Okay, Yesh Lodun. Yesh Lodun, I'll say. I admit. Yesh Lodun. And if it's only Truma, maybe only Truma is called Dimacha in the Torah, and other things aren't. Okay. Anyway, let us move on.
Meiser, you don't have the same problems of Meiser either. You can sell it to anybody.
Correct. Now, in terms of Hezek, right, clearly it's not going to be here in Hezek, because it's not going to lower the price. There's no restrictions on the eating. It's just purely bailus, and when you mix two people's bailus things, then no one's lost money. Okay, let's move on to Edom Zomen. Chesky? The Edom Zomen is funny here. Tosos has a problem. Tosos doesn't say what his problem is. Perish Riva. Tosos doesn't say what his problem is. But Tosos has a problem here. What's Tosos' problem? What's the rule of Edom Zomen? Anyone know what is the most famous counterintuitive rule of Edom Zomen? Hargo, lo hargo neragin, hargo e neragin, right? Edom Zomen is a very funny bird. That if they, two witnesses, testify and try to kill Aaron, and they have to get close, they have to get to the Gemar Din, but they don't succeed, then they're chayv misa when we are mazin them. But if they actually kill Aaron, then they get off scot-free. Okay, it's a funny thing. The Gemara asks in Makos, what about Kal v'chomer? If they're chayiv for trying to kill Aaron, shouldn't they be chayiv for actually killing Aaron? And they say, it's a good Kal v'chomer, but ain't on shemin adin, so you're not allowed to use a Kal v'chomer here. Great. Now, what's the issue? The issue is, what about when it comes to mammon? What about when it comes to mammon? It's clear in the Mishnah, hargu neragin, lo hargu ein neragin. What about mammon? So let us just put that on the board. Right, meaning, neherag hanidon, that's called hargu, the edom zomim in our peturin, ein neragin. Right, funny din, but that's the din. Why? We'll try to figure out. What about Shilem Hanidon? What if it was Dine Mamanos? Right, there are three cases. The Rambam implies that Lamaisa, in the end, there are only three types of punishments we give to Edom Zomen, for whatever reason, that are found all over, Malkus, Mamon, and Misa. So if they already killed the Nidon, they get up scot-free. What if they already made the Nidon pay? They testify falsely that Aaron owed $1 million, and he paid $1 million. So do we say that that they get off? So that's a machlokas rishonim. Who holds what? Who holds that the Edom Zomen are chayavim? What? What'd you say? Tosos. The Tosos that I just started reading. Right. So here, there are two opinions. The Edom Zomen are chayavim according to Tosos holds their chayavim right here, right? Pirish rivat, dafilu shilo ve'edim zomen chayavim. Even after the tashlumen, they're still chayav to pay. Who else holds that even after they pay, the edim zomen still have to pay?
That's
in Tosos. The Rambam, right? The Rambam is very clear. And the Ramban in Makos. I think the Richmond Makos is in brackets. Go to the Ramban in Makos, holds the same thing. Okay. They hold that they're chayavim. Who hold that they are Peturim? By us. Correct, they're Rabbeinu Yonasan. Right, in the Sheet of Gretzir, that's a Rabbi Yonasan Milunil. He says, no. Just like Hargoy Neragim, Shilem and Amshalman. Right? They're Potter, Kasher Zaman, below Kasher Asa. Right? What do we darshan? Kasher Zaman. Vasis and Lo Kasher Zaman, like they plotted to do. Not like they did, only like they plotted. So if they plotted to make him pay, they're chayiv. But if they did make him pay, they're not chayiv. And who agrees with Rabbeinu Yonasan? The Rashba, he brings two deis, but his first day at least, which sounds like his main deis, his batos, it's always hard to say what Tosos says, right? But the Rashba, at least, the first day, right? Because then it's hard to tell. He says, batos says, and Beseder, or batos says, you should know, it's curious. And how about in Makos? Who agrees with Rabbeinu Yonasan? The Ritva I put in the Makoros sheet. And I don't think I put this in the Makoros sheet. Yeah, I did. And the Nemukah Yosef. Ritva and the Nemukah Yosef and Makos both agree with Rabbeinu Yonasan. Okay, so we have a pretty good split, Machlokas Rishonim, what the din is in this case. Why does Tosfos think that? What does this have to do with Bava Kamma? Meaning, this is a nice discussion. Like, I understand why the Ritva and the Ramban and the Mukhi Yosef discuss it in Makos. They actually bring up this issue in Makos. Why? I understand why the Rambam discusses it in Hilchos Eidos, because he's teaching the Halachas of Edom Zomim. Why does Tosfos bring it up here? Like, why does Tosfos think it has to do with our sugya? Exactly, because it's one of the Avos Nezikin. How is it an Av Nezek if they were Nazik? Right? So it must be the Chai if they were Mazik. So that's a Tosfos' proof, right? I mean, I'm less interested in proof than the Svaras, but we have to see the time here. Tosfos doesn't say. Tosfos just Pirish Riva. But if you look in the Tosfos Rush and the Achronim actually argue why Tosfos thought that. But if you look in the Tosfos Rush and Tosfos Ben Yeshaya, and the Tosfos Rush and Tosfos Ben Yeshaya, later on, not later on, they're in the Shiva Gretz, that's parallel to our Tosos, they just speak at a little greater length, and they say, how could it be an Avnezek if you hadn't been Mazik? The answer is, you're high if you were Mazik. Okay, so Tosos thinks that, Tosos says, proof is, it's only called an Avnezekin. An Avnezekin or an Avnezek? It's really an Avnezek. But I don't know, do we ever have it singular in the Torah? In the Chazal, I mean? No. Okay. What? I think it's an Av Nezek, no? Anyone? Okay. How it can only be called an Av Nezek if you are Chayav for being Mazik. So therefore, you have to be Chayav even if you made him pay. Okay, what will the Rabbeinu Yonasan and the Ritva and the Rabbi Yosef say? I don't think there's a deep lamdish machlokis. I think it's really just a matter of how to apply the words, at least so far. I think they'll say no. After all, it's interesting. Like, I don't know, was the Motzi Shemra already Mazik? He tried to kill her, but he didn't. Unless you say he was already Mazik in Boshes, at least. Right? Because he embarrassed her. But you could say no. To be an Avnezek doesn't mean you're a Mamish Mazik. An Avnezek doesn't mean you're a Mamish Mazik. An Avnezek doesn't mean you're a Mamish Mazik. It's called an Avnezek if you're a Chayev for anything in the realm of the Zikin, including attempting to be Mazik. Or you could say, you were Mazik a little. How were you Mazik a little?
You brought him to court
and made a Gemar Din against him. After all, you're only Chayev after the Gemar Din. They're not Chayiv as soon as they testify, right? Like, don't read all the Apocrypha and think, right, the story in the Apocrypha that has Edom Zomim being Chayiv before Gemar Din. No, that was sectarians, right? We hold that you're only Chayiv after Gemar Din. The Mishnah Makos mentions different sectarians. Hold you're only Chayiv after you kill him. Okay, so there are three Shitas, one non-Orthodox Shita in Daniel Bell and the Dragon, or one of these weird apocryphal works. Who says you're chayiv as soon as you testify? One non-Orthodox shita mentioned the mission of Makos of the Tzedukim, who say you're only chayiv after they kill the guy. And Orthodox shita says no, you're only chayiv if you have psak din and haven't killed him yet. Okay, so maybe the psak din is a mazik. You made a psak din of the moment against someone. Maybe that's also called a mazik. Now you have to ask, is it hezek nicker? Is it hezek she'eno nicker? Maybe it's more chashim. Okay, so they deny the proof. They say it can be called an Avnezek because it's an attempted Nezek, or because the Gemar Din is already Mazik. If you think about it, and maybe it's Enu Nicker, you know, but Gemar Din is clearly in the reality, you know, some sort of Nezek means now they have a lien on their property, etc., even though they haven't lost their money. You call the Nezek also. Okay, so I'm not sure. The Rishonim don't even bother to answer. Apparently, they think that it's easy enough to get out of Tosfos' proof, and they're not impressed by Tosfos' proof. Okay, the more interesting question is Misvara. What is the Svara? What is the Svara?
Right? So, what is the svara? The svara for the ones that says potter is very pasha. Kasher zaman. Below, kasher asa. Right? You're chayav for kasher zaman lasos liyachid. Zaman lasos means tried to do, but didn't do. But you're not chayav for kasher asa. Okay, and therefore, you're potter. Why is it called an amnesic? It's called an amnesic anyway. I gave two explanations. You can give me a third one if you want. Tosos, though, is certain that they are chayiv even after the guy was mishali.
Yeah.
Why? What's the svara? So, what's the svara for Tosos Shita? So what's the Rivaz svara? Efshur b'chazara. When we killed the guy, that's kasher zaman below kasher asa, because he's dead and you can't bring him back to life. Bizman hazeh. But if we made the guy pay $1,000, the other guy will just give him back the $1,000 and now it's not kasher asa anymore. Meaning there is no kasher asa. There's never kasher asa in Mamonos because you can always reverse it and then it wasn't naseh. Right, so says the Riva. Efshur b'chazara, so it's not kasher asa. It's not, it looks like kasher asa. But since you can reverse it, it's not kasher asa. What does the re say? The re says, tak, it is kasher asa. But, remember the kavachomer and makos. They said, kavachomer, if they try to do it, they're chayav. Aren't they for sure chayav for succeeding in doing it? Right? That's pretty pashut, right? In America nowadays. Right? State of New York, they'll put you in jail for attempted murder. They'll certainly put you in jail for murder. Right? Pashut. Says the Riz, so isn't a kavach homer? The answer, ain't onchim in a din. But what did we learn? Mainstream, right? 99% to Rishonim in the beginning of the year, that you're not onish mamam in a din, but you're not onish misa in a din, but you're onish mamam in a din, and you are onchim in a din. So he says, no problem, says the Riz, very different. The Basa is not kasher asa. It is kasher asa, but you're chayiv anyway, because Onshin Mamon Min Hadin. Interestingly, the Rebbe Yonasan Udi Ime have to deny both of these answers. They say the Riva's wrong, even though you could reverse it. So Kasher Asa, you did it. The fact that you could reverse it doesn't mean you didn't do it. And they also deny the Re. No, there has to be one rule for Edom Zomin. The rule for Edom Zomin is Hargwein Neragin, Ein Onshin Min Hadin, Kasher Zomin Lo Kasher Asa. Once that's the rule, you can't make a separate rule of Edom Zomin for Mom and a separate rule for Misa. There's one rule of Edom Zomin. Okay, so they don't like these answers.
The real is Kasher
Asa.
He's just saying you don't need Kasher
Asa. I don't know if
we're
really
arguing whether or not the rule that there's Chazara. In his formulation, it sounds like he agrees that there is Chazara, but nonetheless.
It's called Kasher Asa, even though it's Chazara, so why are you Chayav? You're Chayav because of Kal v'Chomer.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we're really arguing. Okay, yeah.
Do all those Rishonim to say that Edom Zomim
did? That's 99%, so I'm reluctant to start ascribing the opposite there. Now, of course, what could you say? Right? What's the third answer you could give? The third answer you could give is, which no one gives here, although plenty of people give for the Rambam, is an interesting phenomenon. Right? Where does it say in Shas, Kasher Zoman below Kasher Asa? Where is that drasha found in Shas? Kasher Zoman below Kasher Asa. The answer is it's not found in Shas. Kasher Asa, Zoman below Kasher Asa is not found in Chazal. Now, I know if you search like the Midrashim branch of the tree on Bar Ilan, you'll find it in the Midrashim that were written in the time of the late Rishonim and early Achronim. Right? Not everything called the Midrash there in Bar Ilan is from the time of Chazal. But if you search only the Midrashim from the time of Chazal, right? Like the Sifra, the Sifri, and the Mechilta, etc., not the Midrashim written in the 15th century, then you won't find Kasher's this Midrash, Kasher's Zomim below Kasher Asa. It's interesting. We all grow up, right, thinking that Chazal said Kasher's Zomim below Kasher Asa, but Chazal never said Kasher's Zomim below. It's not found there. I remember when I always wondered where it was in Shas. Like, I learned Machos, and I'm like, I didn't see this Drasha there, but everyone knows it exists. So I took my Torah to Mima, under that Pasuk, Vasin lo Kasher's Zomim. And I found Kasher Zaman below Kasher Asa. Great. And then he has brackets where it's from. Where's it from? Rashi. So I guess he couldn't find the Chazal either. I didn't check the Torah Shleima. I don't think the Torah Shleima got there, right?
No.
So that's why I didn't check it.
Now, the Rashi says it all over the place. I gave you three Rashis here. And after Rashi, almost all the Rishonim say it all over the place. You can look, almost all the Rishonim say Kasher Zomim, Lo Kasher Asa. It's a good Vart. But, strangely enough, the Mishnah in Makos, like, if Chazal hadn't said anything, I would have said Rashi invented something not in Chazal. But he was right. Because Chazal obviously meant something. They said Hargoy Neragin. It seems pretty straightforward. Kasher Zomim, Lo Kasher Asa. But that's not what it says in the Mishnah Makos. What does it say in the Mishnah Makos? The Mishnah Makos has a machlokas. Now, I admit, it's not the exact same machlokas. In the Mishnah Makos, technically, and this might be one of two ways to defend Rashi and the Rishonim, they're not discussing whether or not you're a putter after the Nidon dies. They're discussing whether or not you're chayev before the Nidon dies, which is a subtly different angle, which is the machlokas between us and the tzedukim. But what does it say here? Shari tzedukim amr ad she yehorek, shenemar nefesh benefesh. Amr lahem chachamim v'alok var nemar v'asisim lo kashadam lasos l'achiv ari achiv kayim. What do the chachamim say to the tzedukim? How can you say you only kill the Eid of Zomim after the Nidon is dead? It says v'asisim lo kashadam lasos l'achiv. You should do that to them as they plotted to do to their brother, which shows their brother's around. It says their brother's still here. So obviously, you only punish them if their brother's still here, and not if he is dead.
What should it have said if it meant dead brother?
The Ritva asked that kasha there. The Ritva says, "What do you mean? What about Asher lo yivnes beis achiv?" And therefore, the Ritva says this whole gemara is lavdafka. They're just being doch the tzedukim with something that I guess would sound good to the tzedukim, but it wasn't really true. That's not my problem right now. It's a Mishnah, right? You want to say the Mishnah is Davka, you can. But obviously, the default is that a Mishnah is Davka. Now, again, what could it have said? The answer is very simple. You could have said, I'm going to say, you could have said, Vasisam lo kasher zomim lasos. And then you're going to ask me, then how would we have known about zomim vaskoin upo'allah? And, okay, it's a good question. Or maybe there could have been some other word for a male person that the Torah could have used, right? Which does not imply that he's kayim. Or maybe it could have thrown achiv a little earlier, right? Ki akomeid chamas be'achiv la'anos bo'sara, right? And then we would have known Zomim is kohen bo'ala, and we would have known he's kayim b'shas edos, but he doesn't have to be kayim b'shas onesh. Okay, b'shas hazama, right? So I win. Great. Anyway, back to regular scheduled programming. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says the reason for Hargonin Neragin is because it says Achiv, Nidi Achiv Kayim. It doesn't say because of Kasher Zomim, Lo Kasher Asa. So that's simple. Now, Tosas is not willing to hear this. He goes, Tosas is the Talmud of Rashi in this respect, and he knows the Drasha of Kasher Zomim, Lo Kasher Asa. But, given that there is no such Drasha in Chazal, it's Rashi's Perish. Right? But it's not a Pashat Perish. Again, if Chazal had said nothing, I would have said Rashi the Pasha Perish, why mess with it? But Chazal give a different drasha. And then the Ritva is stuck with Rashi, is stuck with the Mishnah, and has to say, the Mishnah is Lavdavka. And then he brings time as why the Mishnah is Lavdavka. But Pasha Pshat is you can just say, Pashtos Pashas, and I don't mean no one said this. I mean, I didn't see anyone saying it in Baba Kama, right? On the Rambam, on Perek Chaf of Hilchas Eidos, the Radvaz says it, and the Me'iri says it, that I put in bracket. Lots of people say it. They just don't say it in Baba Kama. But what can you say, Pasha Sashas? Pasha Sashas is just very simple. There is no such drusha as Kasher Zomim Velo Kasher Asa. After all, I don't know, is that so Pasha that Kasher Zomim Lasos means he didn't do it? Maybe Kasher Zomim Lasos means he plotted to do it, whether he did it or not. Meaning, you have to know that you're doing it wrong. You're chayiv even if he just plotted to do it. I don't know. Asher Barbara Lukim Lasos means he didn't yet do it. Now, I know there are a lot of drushas about that. But certainly the Pashup Shat, Asher Barbara Lukim Lasos, means he was Bori and he was Ose. So Asher Zomim Lasos, he was Zomim and he was Ose. Right? Not so crazy. Yes, Yaakov?
Some people say Lasos is below Asa. I think it's the same drusha.
Yeah, I think it's the same drusha. Yeah. Lasos v'lo asa, but I'm saying it's not so pasha. Shabrolo kim lasos simple pshat is he was borei ve'asa, right? After all, it says vayas olkim es chayas arth mina, etc. Vayas, you know. So he was borei ve'asa if you read the psukim. So lasos doesn't mean he wasn't osa. So maybe there's no such drushes kasha zamam velo kasha asa, but only lasos le'achiv. And what's the lashon of the Mishnah? Lasos le'achiv v'hariyachiv kayim. Now, as you can imagine, this is a p'tor and hard going they're running because achiv is not kayim. But if Aaron just already paid $1 million, he's still kayim. Right? There's no reason to pop. There's no reason to pop to the Eidos, but only Lasla so the Ptur only applies to the Ptur only applies to Misa and not Mamon, and you don't need any fancy Hesper in the first place. There's just no Pasuk in the first place that would exempt the Eidim Zomit after the Nidon paid Mamon. There's only a Pasuk that would exempt the Eidim Zomit after the Nidon died. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in Makos actually says, he says, and why are they potter? Because it says, Lasos la'achav ariyachav kayim. It doesn't say anything in Kasher Zaman below Kasher Asa in the Pirush Mishnayos in Makos. Now, this of course brings up the famous elephant in the room, or the, not famous, but the well-known Rav Chaim, which is, there's a Rambam we remember because of this Rav Chaim. Rambam is an interesting shita, which seems to be a shita as yachid. The Ri would not agree, the Rival would not agree. The Rambam says, what about, interesting question, what about Kvar Loka HaNidon? What about Malkus? The Nidon already got Malkus. So what's the din here? So, most Rishonim say the Edom Zomim are Peturim. The Edom Zomim are Peturim. After all, Kasher Zomim below Kasher Asa. And even though the Riva says, well, by moments after B'chazara, Malkus is not after B'chazara. So the Edom Zomim are Pater. And even though the Ri says, by moment you could be Onish Min Adin, Malkus you can't be Onish Min Adin. Yeah, a few Achronim tried very mightily to say, well, some Malkus you can and some Malkus you can't. And all, but simple shot, all the classic Achronim say, of course you can't be Onish Malkus Min Adin. So Edom Zomim Pater in the Rambam has a bit of Shitas Yachid that says the Edom Zomim are Chayavim, even though the Nidon already got Malkus. So, and this becomes the biggest mystery in the world, why did the Rambam say that, what happened to Kasher Zomim? Lo Kasher Asa, right? Why would the Edom Zomim get Malkus after the Nidon already got Malkus? That's Kasher Asa. So, now here it gets tricky in the Lashon of the Rambam, right? If the Lashon of the Rambam was something else, then everyone would have said the Radvaz's answer. The Radvaz says, and the Meiri says the same thing in Makos, and many others. Why? What's the Svara? So, says the Radvaz and the Meiri and others, they say it's based on the Rambam Perush Mishnayos. Maybe the Rambam says there is no drasha of Kasher Zomim below Kasher Asa. There's only a drasha of Kasher Zomim Lasos L'achav Ariyachav Kayim. Since even after he got Malkus, he's still Kayim, he's still alive, then you can still punish the Edom Zomim, and there is no drasha of Kasher Zomim below Kasher Asa. That's not so pashut in the Rambam. Meaning, if I stop now, if you didn't read anything else, then this would be like obvious. Like, you'd be stupid for not giving this answer. Right? Because the Rambam Perush Mishnayos doesn't say Kasher Zomim below Kasher Asa. He says Achav Kayim. So obviously there's only Ptur for Misa. But there's no Ptur for Malkus, because there's only Ptur when the guy is dead. There's no Ptur when the guy is flogged. And then the Rambam is Pashut. The reason why not everyone gives this answer, of the Radvaz and the Meiri and others, is because the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah sounds a little like Kasher Zomim below Kasher Asa. What does he say? Nerek zeshe idu alav yacharka chuz mu'ein erugin min adin. Okay, that min adin is an interesting philosophical throwaway. Right? Hargo ein erugin min hadin, implying that perhaps Shalom and Hadin, we might kill them, using extrajudicial powers, but that's a different sugya that we discussed a little when we learned Sanhedrin, I think, but not for now. I don't think so. I don't think so. Shinemar kasher zomim lasos v'dayin lo asa. It says kasher zomim lasos, he didn't do it yet. Here it said, he doesn't use Rashi's language, he didn't have Rashi, he never read Rashi, but it sounds similar to Rashi, kasher zomim lasos, it sounds like he holds Kasher Zomim below Kasher Asa.
which is why most people don't agree with the Radbaz and the Meiri. The Dabbers have Pia Kabbalah, Avalam Lakas, Ashiro of Lakin, Rechen Yotam Mama, Miyad Zeh Chosel Baal Mishalman. Ah, so what the Radbaz says is that he doesn't even make a general drusha kasher zomam lo kasher asa. What he means is that since achiv is kayam, then by nefashas is only kasher zomam, and not if he did it. But he's really relying on achiv kayam, not on the lashon of lasos. Okay, so you think, all right.
The Gemara says arguing and arguing.
Gemaldic, so you agree with the, so what do they say? The Radbaz on the side of the Rambam, right? I think he's even on the side here, yeah. The Radbaz and the Meiri and others say, very pasha, that there is no drusha of kasher zamam velo kasher asa, or lasos velo asa, whatever, same thing. There is no drusha, but the Rambam really relied on, even though he sounds a little like there is, he really relied on vahari achiv kayim. It's a little funny, because in the Mishnah Torah, it's a bit of a stira. In the Perish Nai says, vahari achiv kayim. The Mishnah Torah just, kasher zamam lasos vadayin lo asa. So, you could say he changed his mind. The Mishnah Torah, he holds like Rashi. In which case, this is not a valid answer. You could say no. Even interpret the Mishnah, what the Radbaz is saying is, I don't know if he had a copy of Perish Mishnah, but what he's saying is, interpret the Rambam, Mishnah Torah, in light of Perish Mishnah. What he means is, kasher zomam lasos, but you didn't do it yet because you need achiv kayim. And that only applies to Misa and not to Malkus and Mavon. So, if you interpret the Rambam, Mishnah Torah, in light of Perish Mishnah, right, meaning that you just say the Rambam, Mishnah Torah, Savar, Kemosha Kasav, Beperish HaMishnah, if you're willing to equate the Rambam Mishnah Torah, the Rambam Perish HaMishnah, then it's glatt. Of course there's no Torah by Malkus. Because, of course there's no Torah by Malkus. Because there's no Gzeres HaKasav. The Gzeres HaKasav is only on Misa, Achiv Kayim.
I mean, this doesn't address the fact that the Gemara itself says pretty explicitly that you're not going to be Ayin and Adib with regard to Malkus, and that that's the answer for why the Rebbe gives to his father, for why Misa and Malkus are not getting...
Not so poshut, because the Gemara then continues to explain why Gullus also, and clearly Gullus is not talking about Edom Zomin, because Edom Zomin are Chayav Gullus first Mishnah. So obviously that Gemara is just a tangent in discussing general halachic principles, and not specifically the case of Edom Zomin anymore. When it says Chayav Gullus minayin, it's not talking about Edom Zomin anymore, it's just talking in general. So Chayav Malkus could also be in general. Right? That's not Dachuk. Okay, so that's one answer. One answer is the based on just saying the Rambam never holds this drasha of Rashi. Even though he might sound a little like he does, you have to say in light of Perish Mishnayis, he didn't mean Kasher Zoman Lassos is a drusha that he didn't do it. He means he didn't do it, he only planned to do it because of Achiv Kayim. Okay, that's one derech. The other derech is the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says it's based on Taima Dekra. Here, this is not a very brisker Kesef Mishnah, so it's a good thing Rav Chaim says differently. Rav Chaim says something super duper brisker, and the Kesef Mishnah says something super duper not brisker. He says, after all, isn't it a weird halacha, hargu ein neruggin? It's a weird halacha, no? Hargu ein neruggin? Why would we have such a strange halacha? I understand Einon Shemin Adin, but it's one thing to say Einon Shemin Adin, it's another to say you have a halacha that just goes against all of common sense. Like, if we try to execute him, we're chayev. For sure, if we succeed in executing him, we should be chayav. So, what is pshat? What could the svara be for hargu ein neruggin? And here, there's a few different drachim to understand the svara of hargu ein neruggin. Now, I'll tell you what a brisker would say. Svaras hargu ein neruggin. I think, what would a brisker say? What would a brisker say? I think a brisker would say Xeris Akasav, because Hargu ain't neruggin. Okay, doesn't matter what we say. The Meiri and Mako says, which I didn't put on the Koros, Xeris Akasav, meaning, don't look for a Svara. Okay, but that didn't stop most people. If you want to look for a Svara, what Svara could you say? I'm sure you've heard many Svaras. I've heard, probably even heard more Svaras, but I'll have to repeat them all. Why Hargu ain't neruggin?
Too good for
his kind. So that is what the Kesef Mishnah here says, and the Meiri and Makos quotes from the Gaonim. I don't know who he meant by Gaonim necessarily, because when he says Gaonim, doesn't always mean what we call Gaonim, but sometimes does.
like the only Sfarad is the Rashba, even though he's a Rishon and not a Gaon. But the Meiri quotes from the Gaonim. Gaonim says, and is a good quote, Godol Avono Minaso, right? Meaning, his Aveira is too big. Remember, we saw that Sfarad I mentioned to Marsha. His Aveira is too big to be atoned. If all they did is violate the ninth commandment and try to violate the sixth commandment, then they're chayav misa and they get their recompense. If they violated the ninth commandment and the sixth commandment in one fell swoop, then even misa is not enough for them. We just leave them to be nidon la'adol ol me'olamim in eshev gehenim. Right? Nothing's bad enough for them because they did two of the most terrible things someone could do. Okay. You see this for a few times. You know, there's a famous Meshech Chachma. You know this famous Meshech Chachma? That in the days of the Meshech Chachma, after the emancipation, everyone started attacking the Jews. You're halacha, it's racist, it's this, it's that. How come if you kill a Jew, you're chayiv misa, and if you kill a goy, you're not chayiv misa? What, goyim are like animals? So Meshech Chachma said, like, no, if you kill a Jew, you're chayiv misa because you did lo sertzach, so misa is the appropriate onish. If a Jew kills a guy, he did lo tzirtzach and chilul Hashem. Now all the goyim are calling the Jews murderers. For lo tzirtzach and chilul Hashem, there is no punishment bad enough. He's just nidon la'adol ol me'olamim. Okay, so it's an interesting svara. Kesef
Mishnah gives a good example also about
Molech. Yeah, Kesef Mishnah gives an example, correct, about Molech, right? The Gemara Darshan, no say mi zaro, mi is always a mi, it's some and not all. La Molech gets misa, but no say kol zaro lemolech doesn't get misa. Agav, there's what? Okay, although there it's also that you don't get the ability to have the protection of Gullus from Gol Adam, so it's more concrete. But anyway, so he says, well, now everyone's mystified. Again, it doesn't make any sense. If I have three kids and I burn two of them to Molech, then I'm Chayev, and all three I'm not Chayev. So there are many explanations given, and the Kesef Mishnah quotes one explanation, which is, it's so bad that Misa is not even enough for you. Okay, so God will avonu minaso. Anyone know another answer for why Har going there, Ragan? What? So you didn't just say the Ramban, right? You said the Yavar Vanel. I don't know if you knew it was the Yavar Vanel. What? Pnei Yeshua quotes the Yavar Vanel, Kavaldik. Okay. Pnei Yeshua quotes the Yavar Vanel. The Yavar Vanel also quotes the Yavar Vanel. It's interesting. Basically, the Yavar Vanel is just the rationalist version of the metaphysical Ramban. Says the Yavar Vanel, because of the Gnai Lebezdin, if you think about it, let's think about it. If two Edom come, they're about to execute Aaron, and at the last minute, right, how do we say in Israel, at the 90th minute, right? At the last minute, yeah, in America we don't have 90th minute, we just have the end of the bottom of the ninth, but at the last minute, two Edom come in, are Mazim, the original two Edom, and they save Aaron and kill the two Edom. What's everyone say about Bezdin? Whoa, we have a great Bezdin here. Look at that. They tried to fool them, but Bezdin couldn't get fooled, and they ended up saving the righteous and punishing the wicked. Gevaldik. What's going to happen if they already killed Aaron? And then Edom come and say, we're Mazim them, and then we kill the Edom also. What are people going to say? This Bezdin, look what they do. There's two sides, they kill them both. They killed an innocent person. Half the people will say, look at this Bezdin. They killed an innocent person. Yeah, then they also killed the other guy, but they're still murderers. The other half of the people will say, Aaron was guilty. And they killed him. But let's say we all trust them as even. Fine. Everyone will say, look at Bezdin. They go around killing innocent people. They killed Aaron, and then they themselves admitted that he was innocent. And what's so bad about Ignite Bezdin? So again, we live in the 21st century. In the 21st century, we love nothing more than taking down authority figures, right? The biggest mitzvah in the world in the 21st century is to say that no one's holy and everyone's messed up and no one's special
That's Marxism.
Yeah, okay, whatever it is. Okay, and for sure, you shouldn't believe in authority. Okay, the traditional political thought, as well as traditional religious thought, says, no, that's a recipe for disaster. Yes, if you want to build a society where everyone's an individual and no one cares about anyone else and no one feels like they're part of anything and no one thinks they have to follow any rules and the only rule in society is everyone should leave everyone else alone and let them be whatever they want to be, but we don't have community, then fine, then that works. But if you actually want to build a real society, that doesn't work. You have to have authority figures. Kabbalah Savicha Vesimecha. Right? In the 21st century, you should certainly, you know, all you should do is question your father and your mother and tell them that they're all wrong, that they're not woke enough. We believe you should respect your parents, because that way you'll keep your traditions and you'll have law and order in society and you'll teach kids to behave. And we believe you should respect your rabbis, and we believe you should respect your king, and we believe you should respect your Bezdin. And we believe that if people start disrespecting Bezdin, it leads to anarchy in society. El Mali Marash al Malchus, and here we mean even Yuris HaKavod, Yisrael Chaim below. If people respect Bezdin, you'll have law and order in society. People disrespect Bezdin, you'll have anarchy in society. Obviously, there's a line. If Bezdin is super duper corrupt, then Yeshaya Nabi will get up and say, Sarayach Sorim v'chavrei galavim k'lo ahev shochad v'rodev shalmonim. Right? And Kestoma yinu kamura diminu. But if Bezdin makes an honest mistake here and there, then it's better. This doesn't match our 21st century sensibilities, but it's good, because our 21st century sensibilities are corrupt. Then it's good to sweep it under the rug here and there so people respect authority figures and you'll have law and order in society. Right? None of us are old enough to remember. Right? The newspaper pictures of FDR. What did you never see in the newspaper?
His feet.
His wheelchair. Right? Because it was pastiche to say the president had polio and was a cripple. You had to have honor for the Malchus. Okay, and now, you don't always have to have honor for the Malchus. There has to be a line someplace. But we believe in the honor of Bezdin. We believe, yes, we believe in sweeping things under the rug sometimes. Okay? When you should, when you shouldn't. There might be a difference between an honest mistake in accepting testimony and moral depravity. But you don't have to find every flaw. We live in a society where you have to find every flaw in everyone, and you think that makes you more educated and more sophisticated. Right? And we believe, no, that there's no mitzvah to find every flaw in everyone, that it's good to respect those people who represent our values as long as they're not corrupt. So therefore, says the Barbanel, it's worth taka, it's an avla, that they killed Aaron and now they get away with it and don't get killed. But it's worth the avla of two false edim not getting killed in order to preserve the image of Bezdin in society and to not descend into anarchy.
I don't know if this was my momo.
Excuse my diatribe.
I don't know if this was my momo, but maybe you could say the whole reason we listen to the second edim anyway is only a chiddush. So when it comes to Manav Shachron needs to get killed, either the first edim or the nidonim, they all do the chiddush. To kill also the first edim, then we won't say the chiddush, and therefore if it was already said, they
argument. You won't say a chiddush to kill extra people, meaning extra sides. Yeah. That's interesting. If you have to kill either Aaron or the two Aiden, then you'll say the Chiddush. But if you kill them both, you won't say a Chiddush. Interesting. I hear that. Obviously, the Barbanel works a little better also if you say it's a Chiddush. If you say, we're not even 100% sure these two Aiden are guilty and Aaron's innocent. It's just a Chiddush. Say, okay, we won't make the Chiddush, we'll be not Bezdin. What the Ramban and the Chinuch and others do is not Gnai Bezdin. Right? The Ramban and the Chinuch, what do they say? They say not the reputation of Bezdin, what people will think. Not what people would mistakenly think. What we actually think. What do they say? Famously, in the Chazon Mishnah quotes it. Give me a Yishir Shal Yom. Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel. Right? Adas Kel meaning Bezdin. V'shaftu Ha'eda. Right? Hashem Shechina rests in the Bezdin. And now it's a little funny. You do find that in some historical circumstances, the time of the Korban, etc., Hashem might have messed up the Bezdin with the Ruch Shtos. But in normal circumstances, Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel, Hashem would prevent the Bezdin. Not that we don't want people to think the Bezdin kills innocent people, because it'll be bad for the reputation of society. That Bezdin actually doesn't kill innocent people, because Hashem is with the Bezdin, and they're not just regular human beings. They have special Siyata Deshmaya. And Hashem, I never said Hashem wouldn't let them do a mistake. Right? Sanhedrin, you have, Mishnais and Mishnais, and Sugyas and Sugyas about, in Bechoros about Bezdin making a mistake. Yeah, Hashem might let make a mistake in $100. But Hashem wouldn't let Bezdin become murderers. That's a Lukim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel.
But we know that's not true. Also, Sanhedrin, like with Shum and Shetach's son, he gets killed by the Beit Eden and Sanhedrin.
So the answer is that under normal circumstances, Al Pirov, we can assume Hashem wouldn't let Bezdin be murderous. Right? So, what do they say? They say, Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel. Elokim nitzav ba'daskel, and therefore this special hashgacha that Beis Din shouldn't murder an innocent person. If so, so what? So the Nido must have been guilty, right? So the Nido must have been guilty. Now the Ramban and Chinuch say this in two different ways, if you read carefully. What do you mean the Nido must have been guilty? The Wormi Mazim his Edim. So the Ramban says, you know what, it's really tray, it's a chiddush. Since the Nido must have been guilty, it must be that the first two Edim are telling the truth and the next two Edim are lying. Oh, we normally believe the second set of Edim above the first. Okay, but over here at Gloy Milsa, because the Siyat Nishvayel can't even talk about his cow, that the first two Edim are telling the truth, so of course we don't kill them, they were taka telling the truth. That's the Ramban's version, meaning guilty of this sin. And the first Edim were telling the truth and the second ones were lying, which is 50-50. It's just a chiddush that we don't normally think so. The Chinuch says something normal chiddush philosophically. It must be the Nido was guilty for something else that we never saw. Meaning, you're right, he didn't do this, but he must have done something else when we weren't looking, and therefore he's guilty b'dei Shemayim, and therefore we're not going to kill the Edim, because even though they testify falsely, since he was guilty b'dei Shemayim anyway, they're not chayav misa. So it's two different versions of what guilty of, right? Guilty of this Avera, or a different Avera. That's the difference between the Ramban and the Chinuch. But it doesn't matter. It's the same basic idea.
According to the Ramban, there's a big now. The second ones should be puzzled in the future. Of course, they'll have to be a little
later. Correct. According to the Ramban, there's a big nafkamina. Correct. You have to see what he would say about that. In a Chanami. In a Chanami. Okay. These are the mainstream understandings. I want to mention a Maharal. There are other understandings also. But I'd like to mention the Ksavah Kabbalah is a different understanding. I want to mention the Maharal in a little bit, but we'll leave that for now. Says the Kesav Mishnah. Now, it's very nice to explain time and Dekra just as a Mefarsh. Right? Okay, Mefarsh, we're interested in philosophy. Do you Paskin based on time and Dekra? So our brisk Mersoers normally, we don't Paskin based on time and Dekra. Right? You have a nice theory as to why the Torah said something. You don't Paskin based on it. However, not everyone was a brisker. Kesav Mishnah said you thought you could Paskin based on it. Said the Kesav Mishnah. Okay, fair enough. Said the Kesef Mishnah, time of the Krah. He says, you know what? I know the reason for Kasher Zaman below Kasher Asa. And once I know that reason, I know that it doesn't apply to Mamon, that it doesn't apply to Malkus and Mamon, only to Misa. So what does he say? Let's just give numbers. 2, 3, 4, 5. I know I haven't even told you yet. Says the Meiri, says the Kesef Mishnah, he says that reasons, a reason to, or three, only applies to Misa, not Malkos. He says, oh, we're allowed to paskin based on philosophy. The reason why Kasher Zom lo Kasher Asa is because Misa's not bad enough for him because he's so terrible. He violated Lasana and Losirzah. But if it was only a matter of Malkus, he's not so terrible. He can get Kapar and Olam Hazeh. And therefore, we give him Malkus. Or reason three. Did he say three? I meant four. He doesn't think of reason. I mean, he might have said, he just doesn't think of that reason. B'chlal. That Elokim Nitzavah Hazeh, Hashem would never let Beis Din kill an innocent person. Hashem wouldn't let Beis Din kill an innocent person. He might let them flog an innocent person. It's not pleasant, but it's not the end of the world. You know, they're still only human. He can't make them into angels, right? He won't make them never make a mistake. He'll just never make them make a murder mistake. But he might let them make a chovel mistake. And therefore, we have hashgacha pratis that says they couldn't have killed an innocent person, but they could have flogged an innocent person. And therefore, the reason doesn't apply. That is the Kesef Mishnah. Says Reb Chaim, he says, al pi lamdas. He's actually very parallel to the Riva. What do I mean by that? He says, in Malkus, it's actually not Kasher Asa. Says the Lamdas, he says, there, even if he got Malkus, it's not called Kasher Asa because it wasn't Chalos Malkus, just Hakaa Bialma, right? Doesn't get more brisker than that. Right. He says, this is not Kasher Asa, if he got Malkus. But he Gloy Milsalim Afreya, because Kasher Asa, because he Gloy Milsalim Afreya, igloi milsa lima freya, that it wasn't, he didn't get malchus. Malchus means a chalos malchus based on a proper psak of bezdin. Igloi milsa freya, it wasn't a proper psak of bezdin. So igloi milsa freya, it wasn't chalos malchus. It was just guys hitting someone. And therefore, it's not kasher asa. Then he asks on himself, hold on, it sounds good. So he says, okay, so then even if he got killed, it shouldn't be kasher asa, because igloi milsa, it wasn't misas bezdin. It was just guys killing someone. And here's where he has his big chiddush. He says, no, there's a fundamental difference between misa and malchus. The chalos of onesh misa is the totsah of misa. When someone's chayiv misa, they're chayiv the result of being killed. And if he was killed, that's kasher asa. I don't care how he was killed. The chalos malchus, the onesh malchus, is not the result of being whipped. V'haraya, sometimes you're potter, even if you weren't whipped. Right? If they tied you up and then you ran away, maybe you're potter. Certainly if they tied you up and he soiled himself, he's potter, etc. If they started whipping him and the whip broke, there's, what do we see from here? He said, we see from that misa, dead is dead. Right? And what do we say? And what if they can't kill him with the misa they're supposed to? They kill him with some other misa. In the onesh misa, the ikar is the totsah. And therefore, if he was killed, that's kasher asa. He got the totsah of misa. In the onesh malchus, the ikar is not the totsah of have being hurt. The ikar is the process of Bezdin, the process of Bezdin imposing this malchus on him. And that's why sometimes you could be yotzei even without actually being whipped, as long as Bezdin tied you up and then certain things happened, because the ikar is not that you would actually get hurt. The ikar is that you have a process called Bezdin being malchus you. And that's a big chiddush, that he makes such a distinction between Misa and Malchus, that in Misa, the chalos onesh is the result of dying, of being killed. And in Malchus, the chalos onesh is the process of Bezdin giving you a chalos Malchus, the big chiddush. But the truth is, it might not be so crazy, if you think about it, we're not, okay. One could justify that on philosophical grounds as well, especially since bin Yisru mi Yisru, Malchus is called Yisru, and Yisru means chastisement. It could be, there is a fundamental between Misa and Malchus. The point of Misa, Biyarta Rabbi Kibachor, to get rid of the guy, not to teach him a lesson, right? It's too late. So getting rid of the guy is the Totsah. The point of Malchus might be to teach him a lesson, of Yisru also, right? Which means, you need to have a certain process going on that's supposed to affect him in a certain way, and then it could be any of the formal process. Anyway, that's what kind of big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. It's a chiddush in two senses. Number one, that he's being a super brisker of chalosa. He's saying, you didn't already get malchus. You just got hit. That wasn't malchus. Igloi milsa, it wasn't malchus. You're just hitting, and therefore it's not kasher asa. Okay, but then the real chiddush is, but by misa, even though igloi milsa, that you weren't chayiv misa, you did get a chi of misa. A chi of misa that's just the result of being dead is a chi of misa. A chi of malchus that's the result of being hit, but it turns out it wasn't actual misa bezdin, is not a chi of malchus. Okay, big chiddush of Rav Chaim there. Okay, so that's three ways of justifying the Rambam. You can make Rav Chaim a lumdish chiddush, you can make the Chesem Mishnah based on time and Dekra, or you could make the Radvaz and the Meiri based on saying the Rambam and the Perush Rishnayis is Iker, and you have to understand the Rambam Mishnah Torah based on Perush Rishnayis, and he just, there is no drush of kasher zom below kasher asa.
People point out that just because Bezdin made a tayas, even in Malchus, doesn't mean we discount every time.
I realize that Rav Chaim's a chiddush. I'm not betting my house on it.
We bring a raya from a shalshim and mamma and a shalshim and Malchus for understanding of
I'm not sure, because in that respect, Malchus is more like Misa than like Mamma, right? You're not Mishalshim but Misa. Okay, fair enough. I'm not sure. I have to think about it. Okay. Anyway, let's just... so much for this part of Edom's Omen. Now, there are two more things I want to mention. Maybe we'll see what we have time for. First of all is the problem of the Rashba. I want to go a little later in the Gemara. Later in the Gemara says that... I'm going to fill it in.
Okay.
I'm going to fill it in a moment. I don't know if I'll say it the way the Maharal meant it or not, but yesh lo adam.
The Gemara later on says, why did Rav Chiya, remember we already discussed last time, or why the Tana of the Mishnah didn't count all of Rav Oshia's? Why did Rav Oshia not count all of Rav Chiya's? The answer is because Rav Chiya counted Knas. Knas means when you don't pay what you damaged, but just some extra or other amount, like Kefo and Dalar Pei. While Rav Oshia didn't count Knas, Rav Chiya counted even Knas. So the Gemara asks, at the top of the Hayman Alf, Edom Zoman to Mamona who listening. Edom Zoman is not Knas, which is a penalty more than you damage, it's Mamon. Just paying what you owe. So Edom Zoman is Mamon. Why didn't Rav Oshia count it? He's counseled the Mamon, just not the Knas. The answer is Sotala Kray Kiva, the Ram Shalman Alfialta. He holds like Ray Kiva, who says that Edom Zoman is Knas. What's an afghan of Knas? We all know Modiv Knas is Potter, right? Modiv Mamon is Chayiv, that's called the Das Baldik Vaidim. Modiv Knas is Potter. Rabbi Akiva says, if you're Modiv, you're not Chayiv. And Edom Zoman or Modiv are not Chayiv to pay. And therefore, he holds it's Knas. Okay, so that's great. So Rav Oshia held that Edom Zoman is Knas, and that's why he didn't count them. And it could be that, and that's why he didn't count them. Rav Chiya could hold whatever he wants, because he counts everything. Okay, great. Now, we see here, there's a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva, where the Edom Zoman is Mamon or Knas. That machlokas originates from Makos, Daf Beis and Beis, Daf Gimel and Aleph, where the Brisa says there are four rules about Edom Zoman, and Rabbi Akiva adds, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Amur Afei Meshaman Al Piatzman. Okay, they don't have to pay. Hodah is not Chayev because it's a Knas. Now, let's think of, Chesky, or... let's just think about the svaras for a moment. Misvara, what would you say? Would you say it is knas, or would you say that it is mamon? What would you think? Is it knas, or is it mamon? Mamon. Edom Zoman.
Knas.
Edom
Zoman
is a chidush.
No, but you don't pay. It depends how you hold in terms of.
What if you haven't made him pay yet? Do the Edom still have to pay? If they have made him pay, that's a machlokas.
Yeah.
What if they haven't made him pay? Everyone knows they have to pay. The machlokas, what about after Tashlumen, do they still have to pay? But everyone agrees before Tashlumen they have to pay. That's not controversial. And that's exactly what the Gemara says on Daf Beis and Beis. My time during Kiva, because I'm a Knasu, Knasu, Mishalman, Piyatsum. I'm a Rabba Tate, that I lost a Maisa, or Mishalman. You should know they didn't make him lose money yet, and they still have to pay. That's a Knas. Yeah, the guy still has his money. He hasn't lost money yet, and they have to pay. And then they say they're really saying the same thing in different words, right? My knee who lost my sign who rabba. Yeah, they said the same thing. They haven't damaged yet, and they still have to pay. It could be that if they did damage, they also have to pay. That's a machlokas. But clearly, if they didn't damage, they have to pay. That proves that it's a knas, and it seems to be a good taina. It taka makes sense. It really should be a knas. And that's I think, a challenge. This bothered me for the very first time I learned Maseches Machlokes. Like, what's the Hanamina? What's the other option? Right? So let's see. Edom Zoman says Rabbi Akiva Knas. Says the Chachamim Momo. And it seems like there really is Chachamim. Mishum Rabbi Akiva, they said, Afei Mishal Piyatzma, Chachamim Hol Mishal Piyatzma. Not only that, the Gemara all over says, like on Gimel and Aleph says, Kiman de lo Rabbi Akiva, is that against Rabbi Akiva? No, it could be like Rabbi Akiva. Sounds like there is another opinion. And our Gemara said, isn't it Mamo? No, it's like Rabbi Akiva. Sounds pretty clear. There is another opinion that it's Mamo. Just Rabbi Akiva holds Knas. So what is the Svara? The Svara here is Pashut. It's Mefurish in the Gemara. Right? That lo hiziku umeshalmin. That is clearly a knas. You're paying not for what you damaged because you didn't damage yet. Maybe you also pay if you were mazik, but you at least pay if you weren't mazik. Right, so it is a knas. The question is, what's the svara of the chacham that it's mamon? Meaning, what's the havlina that it's mamon? If you pay when you didn't damage, how could anyone possibly think that it is mamon? And the Gemara never even says what the svar of the Chachamim is. So what's the svar of the Chachamim? Anyone want to tell me the svar of the Chachamim? Right? Preferably, if you thought of it on your own. And if not, if you saw it in the Makoros. Anyone want to tell me the svar of the Chachamim? Okay, you could say Rav Chanan. Anyone else?
After the Psak Din, it becomes Mamon.
After the Psak Din, meaning you're on the Chai, once I had a Psak Din. After the Psak Din,
What you're saying is, I did damage you. Meaning maybe, that's interesting, maybe the Chachamim say that causing a psak din is damaging you in mamon. Even though you haven't lost any money yet, since you have a psak din against you, you've really lost money. That's a nice shot. What do you tell him? Okay, could be.
We saw that.
So what's the svara?
You don't remember words.
Maybe it's...
I don't remember.
Okay, so maybe you could say, after all, didn't I put that on the board? No, I don't. I put that on the board before, right? So I have to allow it now. Maybe you could say that Kavan did Gomru Dino Chashiv Ke'ilu Kvar Kvar Hefsid. Right? Is the name Mardino? Right? Meaning, what do you mean he hasn't lost and you have to pay? He has lost. Once there's a Gmar Din, he's lost. Okay, could say that. Could say that's far, what?
But then once they're Huzam, the Gmar Din is over, why should they have to say that?
Meaning, Yvlai Milsalam afraid that he didn't lose, right?
Or Yvlai Milsalam now, but right now there's no hazard.
Once a Revatal the Gmar Din, that's funny, like, is a Mazik usually Chayav to pay even if he reverses the Hezek? Or someone else reverses the Hezek? Right, it's interesting, right? That's a someone else Mavatal my Hezek, Lachora I shouldn't have to pay, right? So that's a bit of a chiddush. You have to, I guess, add the chiddush is that the chiddush of the Torah is that that's considered to be a hezek, even though, now, it might be harder to say that by Misa and Malchus. You're not going to say it's as if I killed you, just going to make a din of Misa. You're not going to say it's as if I beat you, just going to make a gemar din of Malchus. By Mammon, it might be easier to say, because once I make a gemar din, the guy has a shibud on your property, right? So maybe you could say, but still a bit of a chiddush, right? It's Kosher Kilo Hifsid, and even though the Gemar Din is Batel, right, we ignore that. Right, we ignore the fact that Gemar Din is Misbatel.
I'll
be Chish.
The Gemar also says Rachman HaKar Maisa. So the moment that you...
And maybe that's our Rechmana Karya Maisa, because the Gemara Din is really a Maisa.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one derech. One derech is that you did damage him. I know you didn't actually take money out of his pocket, but it's Ke'ilu you took money out of his pocket. Okay, if you want to, you could say maybe that's the Yisod of all of Edom Zoman, or that would be a Chiddush. Why are Edom Zoman who killed our own Chayv Misa? Because they killed you. Or even if they didn't. It's who tried to kill you, Chayv Misa, because it's as if they killed you, and a killer is Chayv Misa. Why are you someone who tried to flog you, Chayv Malkos? Because it's as if they did flog you, and a Chovel is Chayv Malkos when he's not Chayv Mamon. Why are you someone who tried to make you lose money? Pay money? Because it's as if they were Mazik you. Okay. After the Granach brings up the issue, so it's Chashiv Ki'ilu Kfar Hifsid. Right? Either it's just Achidish it's Ki'ilu Kfar Hifsid, or because there's a Shibit on his property, and his Shibit on your property is as if you already lost money. I know you haven't paid yet. But once the other guy's a shibud on your property, you really have paid in a certain sense. You just haven't physically handed it over, but you've lost the money because he has a shibud. Okay, yesh ladin if that's called losing money. Someone else has a shibud. That's one possibility to say. It really is. The Rashba sounds a little different here. Right? What does the Rashba here say? The Rashba by us is bothered by this and says... says, give me a second. Ainun Dafilo Lo Shilan Krinulu Mamona. Says, how could it be Mamon if he hasn't even paid yet? Right? He hasn't even paid yet. How could it be Mamon? Mishum da asu la afsu de Mamona. Because now it's a little funny in the end of the Rashi, but then he says, but Tosos thinks that even after he paid you still pay. Does that mean that for Tosos it works out? And he thinks like it's only called Mamon after you already paid? A little unclear. But at least the beginning of the Rashba, he says, "Dafilo shilam kriinu mamonu shundasel afsudim mamonu." Even if you haven't paid, it's still called mamon. Oh, you haven't caused a loss because you aren't mafsid him mamon. Now, what does this Rashba mean? It's called mamon because you came to be mafsid him mamon. So just because you came to be mafsid him mamon, but you weren't, why is your chiv called mamon? It should be called knas for coming to be mafsid him mamon. So it could be that what the Rashba means is this famous Rav Elchanan says Rav Elchanan to chidushim. Says Rav Elchanan, he's actually combining two chiddushim in a package deal. I think you could separate them. But says Rav Elchanan,
He says, "What's the? Here's a fascinating question. What's the nature of the ownership of Edom Zomim? Right? So, what's the ownership of Edom Zomim for? So you can actually, I think you could separate Rechon into two questions, but we're really not learning Machlokes now. One is for Moshe Salvechik's Chakira. Are you is Edom Zomim punished for violating Losane, the ninth commandment, or are they just punished as a Haloshem Eid Zomim, special parish of Eid Zomim? Meaning, is there punishment for the Avera or just for the Chalos Din of Eid Zomim? Anyone wants to bring a proof from the Rambam? Right, the Ramban says famously that there are four people who, Chazal say four people you need to announce why they were killed. And the Ramban and Chumash says, because these four people are not killed for their Avera, they're just killed to preserve society. And one of them is Eid Zomim. Right, meaning a Mesis is not killed for his Avera. All he did was make a suggestion. He's killed to preserve society because otherwise we'll all go off the derech. Zakin Mamre, he's not killed for his Aveira. He just said his opinion. He's killed to preserve society so that we won't splinter into different factions. V'chuli and Nate Zomim is not killed for his Aveira. He talked did an Aveira, we think. It's actually 50-50, but we think he did an Aveira. He's killed to preserve society because otherwise you couldn't have a Bezdin if there wasn't a deterrent to false testimony. Okay. The said where Moshe Salvechik said, the Ramban saying philosophically, an Eid Zomim is killed for the sake of society, not for the sake of what he did wrong. Not as a recompense for what he did wrong. So Moshe Salvechik said that in Lundish language, says he's not killed for the Avir of Losani, he's killed for the Haloshem Eid Zomim. And Moshe Salvechik and Rechon brought a right from the Rambam says, an Eid Zomim is chayiv even if he shogay, even without Hasra, because there's no Maisa. No one knows what this Rambam means until Rechon and Moshe Salvechik. Alav Shish B'Maisa, you're only Chayef B'Mezid with Hasra. You're not Chayef Megadif has no Maisa. You're not Chayef Shogig without Hasra. A lot of things have no Maisa. You're not Chayef without Hasra. That's ridiculous. You know, Shua Sheker, Shua Shog. You're not Chayef Malkus without Hasra of the Shogig. So what does he mean there's no Maisa? So what they say, no, the Rambam meant Lundish. He means, he doesn't mean there's no Maisa like Alav Shish B'Maisa. It means is you're not punished for what you did. You're punished for the Chaloshem Eid Zomim for the Parsha. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you did it on purpose or if you shogeg beis and asra na hasra. You're not chayav for the avera. You're chayav for the chaloshem eid zomim.
Why isn't that a knas? Because there's no
give me a second. Okay, so far it sounds like super duper duper knas, right? Rav Chanan then adds a second chiddush. This second chiddush, he has a raya from a really weird Rashi in Sanhedrin. What's the really weird Rashi in Sanhedrin? The Gemara is discussing whether Edom Zomim is considered yesh b'maisa or ein b'maisa. And it says, well, it's just speech, so it's Ein B'Maisa. And they say, no, but don't we say Akima, they bring Raisa. Akima Sfasai, moving your lips is a Maisa, in that context. So if moving your lips is a Maisa, why is Edom Zomim not a Maisa? Say, Edom Zomim is different. Hol v'yeshno b'ri'iyah. We're not sure what that means, we're not sure what the Gira says. It says the Rif, the Gira says, Edom Zomim is different. Hol v'yeshno b'ayah. What does ayah mean? You can say yes, right? You can say I, right? I. Right? Meaning an Edom Zomim doesn't have to move his lips. That's the point. Edom Zomim can do it without moving his lips. You can't be Megadif. You can't say Yake Yossi is Yossi without moving your lips. You can't do Shua Shav without moving your lips. The only thing you can do without moving your... Let's say. The only thing in this context, but that's not relevant for that. This will give you. You can't be Megadif without moving your lips. But you can do Edom Zomim without moving your lips because one Eid will say, on Tuesday at 5 o'clock, I saw... Blah, 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 blah. That's the other Eid. Did you say the exact same thing? And he'll say, and he'll say, yeah. He'll say, eh? And that means yes. And therefore, since he can do it without moving his lips, it's Ein B'Maisa. That's the riff. And many others. Rashi says, has the Gersana, ayah, aleph yod hey, but ri'iyah, right? I guess, whatever. The Rashi and the riff are just arguing, machlok is in the charidim and tzionim, right? Do you put a rav before of cook or not? So, Rashi is says ri'iyah. He has the resh. So Rashi is yeshno b'riyah. What does he mean yeshno b'riyah? He says they're not chayav for moving their lips. They're chayav for what they saw. That's Rashi's big chiddush. Edom Zomim aren't chayav for what they said. They're chayav for what they saw. Now, here Rashi is the most peculiar thing ever. First of all, just what does it mean they're chayav for what they saw, not for what they said? But that's not the big problem. The big problem is what do you mean they're chayav for what they saw? They didn't see anything. That's the whole point. They didn't see anything. They said something that they didn't see. So how do you say they're chayav for what they saw? They're chayav for what they said. Because they didn't see anything. And this Rashi is a tremendous tema. Says Baruch Hanan, maybe the first person to ever figure out Pshat in this Rashi, I don't know, says Baruch Hanan very brilliantly, he says, no, what does Rashi mean? Rashi means my second Chiddush. He doesn't say there's two Chiddushim, I just split it. He says, what's the nature of the punishment of Beinim Zomen? Here, there are two ways to understand the punishment of Beinim Zomen. Kasher Zomen Lassos L'Achiv. One way of understanding is, it's called Mida Keneged Mida. Right? After all, a ganef. If a ganef tries to steal $100 and is caught, how much does he lose? $100, kefil. Right? Right? Meaning, Hashem has done you Mida Keneged Mida. Often, you did a certain avera. The punishment is an equal quantity to the avera. So why is the kasher zomen lassos l'achiv? Well, if I tried to kill, I get a punishment of equal quantity of death. If I tried to give malchus, I get a punishment of equal quantity of malchus. If I tried to make you lose X dollars, I get a punishment of equal quantity X dollars. So the simple way of understanding kasher zomen is that there's an onesh of equal quantity. Right? Kasher zomen. The simple pshat is that it's just an onesh of equal chumrah. Right? But, says Rav Elchanan, he says no. Says Rav Elchanan, that's not how kasher zomen works. Then you'd be chayav for your speech. How much you chayav for your speech? Equal quantity. Why should a speech be chayav different things in different cases? I don't know. Theft is also chayav different things in different cases. The kefil if I steal a bottle of soda is 5 shekel. The kefil if I steal a car is 200,000 shekel. Okay, equal quantity. He says, no. The chiyav veidim zomen is not that you get a punishment equal to what you tried to do. It's that you get his punishment. You made a psak din on him. You made a psak din on him. That psak din exists. It's not that when we're mazim you, we're mevatel his psak din and instead give you a psak din of equal chumrah. Then we're mazim you, we just put his psak din onto you.
Transference.
Right, transference, exactly. If that's what transference means. We just put his psak din. We just submitted his psak din onto you, right? They didn't say to Haman, we're mevatel what you tried to do to Mordechai, and instead we'll judge how bad you are, and you're equally bad to what you tried to do, so we'll hang you on a gallows. No, they said to Haman, you created this? Reap what you sowed, right? That's the Maharal makes the parallel to Haman, not Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan is a little too brisker. The Maharal is already a little more metaphysical. He enjoys the metaphysical side as well. Then you reap what you sow, not you reap equivalent quantity to what you sowed. You actually reap what you sowed. You know, a guy tried to poison his friend's sandwich. We make him eat the sandwich, right? That's justice, at least poetic. And according to Rav Elchanan, even actual. So says Rav Elchanan, no. Rav Elchanan said the psak din of the nidon goes on to the edim zomimin. They get his psak din. Says Rav Elchanan, not they get an equivalent psakdin. They get his psakdin. Says the Maharal, by the way, and here I'm not sure if this is lumdus or metaphysics, so I'm not sure how committed I am to it. Says the Maharal, you know why Hargu ain't Nerugin? The gallows is already used up, right? Hargu ain't Nerugin because the onesh of Eidim Zomim is we put that psakdin onto you. But if the psakdin's already been used up, it's not here anymore. There's nothing to put onto you, right? That's the, says the Maharal. Now again, I admit, this Maharal might already be moving from Lundus to metaphysics, or maybe not. He's saying metaphysically. But maybe I'll be Lundus. The nature of kasher zomen is that we take the psak din and apply it to you. But if the psak din is no longer valid, because it's already been executed.
But Rohan says that about why they only get punished after the Gemara did.
Perhaps, right, correct. Yeah, correct. Says the Maharal, I'll pee Rabbi Hanan, if you'll allow me a little anachronism. You know, but let's assume that all, you know, lumdus comes conceptually before all hashkafa. The alpi, Rav Elchanan, you just say the psak din is no longer available, right? Because it's already been used up. And therefore, Hargway Nerugin, because the only way to punish Eidim Zomim is to put Psak Din on them. The Psak Din's already been, there is no Psak Din to put on them anymore. It's already been used up. The case is closed.
Okay, that's what the Maharal says. Whether you take or leave the Maharal is not Ma'akeh. Baruch Hanan's a brilliant shot. Baruch Hanan actually brings a raya from 2 days in Tosfos, Ksuvos Daf Lamed Beis. They're arguing in a very technical sense. What's the chumra of Edom Zomen and Chovo B'Chaveiro in terms of the Sugya of Kimmel Rav Mineh? And they say, Tzad Chumra, they don't know what it means. Rabbi Ham says, I'll tell you the chumra. Chovo pays five things. And Edom Zomen, if he testifies you were Chovo in someone, pays five things. So, they ask Rabbi Natan. No, it's not that Edom Zomen pays five things. He pays one thing, the Chiv Edom Zomen. So Rabbi Ham says, no, this is dependent on my Chakira. According to this sad, it's an onus equal chumra. The Edom Zomen doesn't pay five things. He pays one thing, which is equivalent to the totally tried to be chayiv you. According to my side of the chakira, the psak din of the needle goes on the Edom Zomen. Then, if I say you were chovel in someone, then the psak din goes on me and I'm chayiv as a chovel. So the Edom Zomen pays five things. The bigger nafkamina for us is, says Rav Chanan, is this explains the machlokus between mandamer mamona and mandamer knasa. Edim sheheidu. Al chiyuv mamon, not knas, vehuzmu. If they were made on chiyuv mamon and huzmu, then according to Rav Chanan Sad, you would say that it's mamona, and that's what the Rashba says. They were trying to be chayiv mamonas, their chiyuv mamona, meaning we don't view it as a knas. They're chayiv chiyuv. How can they be chayiv chiyuv mamon? They didn't damage. Because they're not chayiv for their psak din. They're chayiv his psak din. And his psak din was a psak din of mamon. And then he says, maybe if it was a chiyuv knas, it turned into mamon, which is what... then he says you have to be ayin in those very difficult sugas and ksubas, as opposed to... No, if it's an equal chiyuv, it's still knasa. Yeah, we're giving you an equal chumra, but it's still a knas, you didn't do anything. But if we're putting his chiyuv on you, if you said he damaged Shor, Bor, Mav, and Hezek $1,000... then we put the chiyuv of Shor, Bor, Mav, and Hezek $1,000 onto you. And therefore, you have a chiyuv mamon. I know you didn't do it, but it's a chiddush Torah. You get psaked in for something you didn't do. And that's shot in Rashi. Right? That's where he says, what's the girsa? The girsa in Sanhedrin. You could say, Rashi, Bir'iyah, what are you chayiv? You're not chayiv for what you said. You're chayiv for what you saw. Oh, you didn't see it? That's the whole point. What you didn't, the story you didn't see, you're chayiv as if you did that. So you're not chayiv for saying false words. You're chayiv for, let's say I said I saw Morty, you know, Machal Shabbos, and he's chayiv skila. Then I'm chayiv skila for Chal Shabbos, yesh no beriyah. I'm chayiv for what I know I didn't see it, but I'm chayiv for what I saw anyway, even though I didn't see it. I'm not chayiv for losana. I'm chayiv for Chal Shabbos. The psak din of Chal Shabbos goes on to me. As opposed to here, you would have to say, like the riff, yeshno ba'ayin, it's a technical thing that you have to ask the speech therapist to clarify. I'll just point, so then, that is the big finish of Rav Chanan, says Rav Chanan, because kevan dinigmar din chiyuv mamona al hanidon. Gmar din ze gufo chal al ha'edim. And therefore, it says, Gmar din and mamon on him, that Gmar din is chal on the edim. Because they don't get their own punishment. They get his punishment. That's the chakira. Do they get their own punishment of the same amount? Or do they get his punishment? Rav Chanan's chiddush, they get his punishment.
Wouldn't it not be the same amount if it was a knas? Because the knas is a weak type of payment. Because you need to be a chayv and you can't be voted in.
Okay, that might depend on some of the other things we're going to discuss. Okay, you could. We don't have time. I'm already way over time. I'll just mention one thing that might also be nafkamin of this. You could also say it's a nafkamin of a subtle hakira the Rosh Yeshiva, the late Achronim, make about Meitav. But I just put in the chorus, the machlokas in the bottom of Haman Aleph. Why in the end does Rav Chiya list 24 things? What makes them all avos nezikin? Do they all have toldos? No. Why are they all avos nezikin? Because they pay meitav. When does Edom Zomen pay meitav? Machlokes Rishonim. Edom Zomen always pays for meitav? Or only if he said you have to pay for meitav, he pays for meitav. But if he said you don't pay for meitav, then he doesn't pay for meitav. If he said you owe a loan, beinanis, he doesn't pay meitav. If he says you owe ksuba ziburis, he doesn't pay meitav. If he says you owe short tam, migufo, he doesn't pay meitav.
But if he says you pay meitav, he pays meitav. Meaning, what is the other nafkamina we could say here? And we'll come back to this. Is what about Aidin zomimim shehi'idu al alav chiyuv she'eino mi meitav? What if they said you owe money not for meitav? How do they pay? If we're going to say they just get an equal din, they get an equal din, and they're one of the obvious zikim, they should pay for meitav. So you should say, mishalmim mi meitav. That is the shita of Rashi and Tosfos and others. But if you say that no, the psak din of the nidon goes on them, then if the nidon had to pay meitav, they have to pay meitav. If the nidon didn't have to pay meitav, they don't have to pay meitav. So then they wouldn't pay for meitav. Ein mishalmim mi meitav. And that is the shita of the Ravid and the Rashba and others. So that might also be enough kamina. Do we view... Now, Chesky is going to say the same exact thing, I know. Chesky is going to say, no. It's just that meitav is part of the chumrah. And then I'm going to say, that depends on the subtle chakir we haven't seen yet in the late achronim. Is meitav a chumrah, or is meitav just a din in the process of kviyah? Perhaps. Okay, and he'll say, afikin aniosa. Okay, so this is very important chakir's made in Zomun. We didn't get to the very, very last thing on the Makoros sheet, but we'll have to come back to that Amir Tzashem. Meanwhile, there's lots of other exciting things going on in Rav Chi and Rav Oshia. Meanwhile, for the rest of the day, until I send out the Makoros, I'm sorry, I'm always tardy with Makoros, I wrote down, meanwhile, go till the two dots in the Hayim and Aleph. Go till the two dots in the Hayim and Aleph with Rashi and Tosos and Rabbeinu Hananel. And see the Ravid and the Rashba on the line of Hakatani Leishomarchina Vashoel and on the line of Tachas Nasina Yishalim Kesef, and that'll be a good start. So again, go till the two dots, Rashi, Tosos, and Rabbeinu Hananel. See the Ravid and the Rashba on the line of Hakatani Leishomarchina Vashoel and on the line of Tachas Nasina Yishalim Kesef, and I'll send out more Amir Tashem later. I want to tie in some other things also.
According to the Reb Chaim, medical and Muslim, why is it considered?